You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Helen, thy beauty is to be like those Nicene barks of yore, that gently o'er the perfume sea the weary, wayworn wanderer bore to his own native shore.
Who was Helen? Some kind of whore of Babylon?
One doesn't know who Helen was. But I picture her as being very, very extremely pale.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it.
Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? Here we go. Welcome to episode 212 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one film critic. You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. If you can think of a better movie podcast from Florida, go fuck yourself. I have this week's threat level update. The current threat level is crimson. Oh, shit, it's crimson. It's crimson. Current threat level is crimson. Your nightmares are not enough, crimson.
Ooh,
guys.
Actually, they are.
Your nightmares are not enough.
We are currently living in one of our nightmares.
Just one of them?
Just one of them.
Only one?
I have many.
Oh. Well, then I think we're doing okay.
This is one of them.
If it's only one nightmare, I mean, it could be a lot worse. It could be multiple nightmares. It could be Freddy's final nightmare.
But it's never the final nightmare.
It's never the final nightmare, ever, is it?
No.
It's never the final nightmare.
Just because there is a dawn, that means there will be another night.
A dawn?
There is light, then there's darkness.
A dawn.
Dawn.
I said a dawn. Like
no,
a dawn.
A dawn.
Like a Don Juan. Like
no,
a Donald Trump.
Like a D-A-W ad.
Like a Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
Okay, that's a much more.
There'll be a Night of the Dead.
What are we talking about? God, this is Drew Cogburn, Drew.
Chris.
Dawnster Cogburn.
No.
How you doing?
Sounds awful.
What's up?
Don't say that again.
Thanks for doing the show again. Every time you show up, I'm like, oh, this guy is back. The guy.
Every time I show up, like I leave or something?
That's
I mean.
Fair enough. We have a first-time guest, special guest. He's a local stand-up comedian, gaining popularity by the day, so it seems. We're very happy to have him here. He's also a purveyor of smoked meats in the tubular form, usually the hot dog variety, and as well as gourmet homemade lollipops. Is that correct? Gourmet?
It is. It is.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Big Tim Murphy is here. Tim, how you doing?
I'm good. Now I got an applause button.
Fuck yeah, you get an applause button to get you a polite audience applause.
Those are British people.
I mean, he's got followers, too.
Yeah, supporters.
Yeah. Those are Nazis.
No, they're supporters.
They're Nazis.
They're just supporting you.
Chris, they sound like Nazis.
They sound like they're at a soccer game.
I don't know if you know this. There's a bit of an overlap between my supporters and Nazis.
I wouldn't be surprised.
My daddy got married in a Waffen-SS uniform.
Ooh! Well, there we go. All right.
So there is a Venn diagram there.
Yes, there is.
Well, any listeners that are stumbling onto this show because you're on here and maybe fit in that Venn diagram, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks for the download. Go fuck yourself. Tim, did you bring
I don't think I did.
No lollipops.
Oh. I'll get my backpack in a minute. I might have. Oh. I don't remember.
I got money. I got money. I was like, I want some lollipops.
And you know what? Now that I'm here, I needed that money. But.
Oh, man.
It's fine. I'll get y'all some tomorrow or the next day.
Next time we see each other. Exactly. I want to get some of them whipped cream lollipops.
Man. Oh, I don't even have any of the whipped cream. Whipped cream are closely guarded, man. They keep that in the lab, dude. That shit's addictive.
It's got to be.
Lollipop. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, like out of the can of whipped cream.
Well, yeah, that's what she made it with. Well, the tub kind, not the can kind. But
well, still. It's the same stuff.
Because we distill down our own ingredients.
Yeah.
And
what's your most adventurous lollipop flavor you think so far?
Oh man, we got a vanilla saffron with real saffron in it with gold flakes.
See, that sounds delicious.
With gold flakes,
that sounds fucking off the chain.
That sounds really good.
They're real good. It's a shame I didn't bring any because we'd all be sucking on them right now.
Yeah.
And if anything works on a podcast, it's the sound of three dudes sucking on
a high end lollipop.
Just like, and then commenting on the flavor. Like, oh, if only you guys could tell how great this is.
Well, I mean, you can order them online at BigTimSellSuckers.com.
Boom! That's what I'm talking about. That's a plug right there. BigTimSellSuckers.com. What's your, the highest selling sucker, most popular one?
It's tough because we rotate them out so much, but probably Toasted Coconut.
Yeah, that one got a good reaction.
Toasted Coconut. Well, if you like coconut, it's probably the best coconut lollipop there ever was.
What? Rib. What a fucking! I love that. Balls are the best coconut lollipop ever.
I'm willing to fight about it. If somebody brings me a better one,
you're willing to do the take the Pepsi challenge.
I'll do a Lee Iacocca. You find one, buy it.
That's awesome.
You know,
you find one better.
How was that? Didn't you do with Ross a special cheddar?
Rat House? Yeah.
What was that, cheddar cheese? It was.
Well, we had reached out. One of my two partners reached out to. This company that makes industrial cheese flavorings or whatever for, like, you know, products.
Mm-hmm.
It's food stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent a free sample, and they were expecting maybe an ounce, 1 or 2 ounces. They sent, like, a half pound.
Whoa.
I don't know if y'all are aware of just how little flavoring you need to put in the stuff.
To make it work?
Yeah, we've got enough cheddar cheese flavor. We could probably make about 1,000 cheddar cheese lollipops.
Wow. That is crazy.
They also sent ricotta and then... Parmesan.
What? All right, so I'm thinking bacon cheeseburger lollipop. Can we work on that?
Because we already got Oblivion maple bacon. Because we get the fancy bacon from Oblivion Tap
Boom.
Room.
Boom.
Okay. Down there on 50.
Amazing. So then we just got to work in some beef flavor. Beef flavor with the maple bacon and some of that cheese stuff. We got a bacon cheeseburger lollipop.
I think eventually we could probably just put a cheeseburger in the solution, and about 6 weeks later we have one.
the full cheeseburger.
Why not?
I mean, that's what happened with the, all. That's what happened with the blueberry Pop-Tart.
Really? Just put the whole Pop-Tart in?
Just put the whole Pop-Tart in acid solution or the alcohol bath, and then you take the alcohol bath and you make a lollipop out of it.
Oh, man.
And what was the other one? Parmesan and...
Parmesan and oregano. Or not the other one. Parmesan
ricotta.
And
ricotta. So do we have any sort of like tomato? I was thinking lasagna. Again, pop. Bring back the same beef from the burger.
I'll bring it up to him, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't make those kinds of decisions. Yeah. I'm like Bert from Bert's Bees on there.
Yeah, really? You're the George Foreman grill?
I don't think George Foreman ever assembled a single grill.
No. As a matter of fact, they took that to Hulk Hogan first. According to Hulk Hogan, they were like, we want to put your face on a grill. He was like, no, I'm good, brother.
Oh, should have.
And then he turns around.
Could be the Hulk grill.
He made
the pasta machine instead.
Yeah, not a good idea.
I can say F on here, right? I've heard F before we try to keep down, though, right?
Cursing?
Yes.
No, okay. Tim, this is a fucking family show, so you gotta keep that shit under wraps.
Make sure you don't say fuck.
Or
fuck.
No.
Or shit, or fuck, or fuck.
All of this is being bleeped out. It's caused me a lot of fucking work. All this bleeping I gotta do.
You're
not
doing any fucking
bleeping. Well, I listened to one episode. I can't remember for sure if you were cursing or not.
Yeah. Okay. No, it blends in. Right. I do click on the explicit button on the iTunes thing just to be safe. I don't need Apple Big Brother coming down on us. I am fascinated by all this lollipop shit. There's a solution. I had no idea. I didn't even know why I didn't think about that. I guess it's very similar to ice cream, where if you want a different flavor ice cream, you gotta cook it down the flavor you want in the cream. Mm-hmm. And then when you cook the cream off and you freeze it, you make the churning and all that stuff.
Very similar.
So there's a solution that you put so you can go ahead and put a whole burger in there.
Do you use a solution to find your Netflix pick of the week?
We do, of course, as a matter of fact. It's not just Netflix. We got to put all the streaming services into a vat.
Even Crackle and Venmo.
All of it. And it all just goes into a giant vat that we cook down.
Because Crackle occasionally gets some good gems in there.
Yeah, they do, because they have a deal with Sony.
Now, Sony owns them completely. It's a whole subsidiary.
That's right. But they are about to lose the Seinfeld Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yeah.
They're losing that because Seinfeld just struck a deal with Netflix. All that shit's going over to Netflix. I think we talked about that in the previous episode, as a matter of fact. The old solution could only handle Netflix, but this year we got an update. We were working with a new company out of Mexico, and now those tariffs are going up. We're going to have to find another outsource company to get this new solution that powers the 9,000, Crespo Diesel 9,000.1. And since we're there, we might as well play that intro. Here's the theme song. It's a brand new one.
I'm so concerned about what back.
Movies on fleet. Streaming.
Yeah, go ahead, pop the top.
Streaming.
Grab a movie.
Streaming.
As he uses the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9,000.1.
Blue Ruin. On Amazon.
He lets us know right away. I like it. I'm going to write that down. And you know, I'm even going to go ahead and give that one of these because it deserves it. Blue Ruin.
We just talked about this last week, too.
As a matter of fact, Big Tim, you mentioned Off-White.
That's the horror movie set in the Amazon, right?
No. That's Green Inferno.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right.
Another title, color title. But speaking of green, as a matter of fact, Blue Ruin is from the writer-director of the guy who did Green Room.
It's
the same guy, and yeah, if you saw Green Room, the dude who is the Patrick Stewart is the main bad guy, right? Yeah. And then he has the one dude that's his right hand man. At one point, he gets mad at him, he slams his head into the wall. That guy is the lead in Blue Ruin.
Oh.
And what happens in Blue Ruin is that the movie starts with this guy. He's homeless. His life is ruined because 20 years prior in the 90s, his parents were killed by some dude, in the country, some local country mob family, some shit or whatever. They killed his parents. The guy went to prison. Plea deal, he got out 20 years later. So the movie starts with this guy getting out and the dude figuring out the guy's getting out of prison. He sleeps on, he thinks about it, and the next day he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go kill this motherfucker.
And so you think that's going to be the entirety of the movie. And the great part is, that's the first 10 minutes.
Yes, and then he kills the guy, and then the rest of the movie is the fallout.
It's insane. That's the first movie I think I've ever seen that had, or ever even heard of, that had the fallout of a murder in it.
Yeah.
There's almost always an end, and it's just we're getting away.
Yes.
Horror movies are horrible about that, because it's like, no, there's 5 dead people in your house.
Yeah.
And you're going to say a ghost did it?
Yes. And then the credits roll.
Yeah.
My favorite one of that is a Steven Seagal movie, Mark for Death, the one where he fights a Jamaican. The movie ends.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the one
Screwface.
Ends with him killing Screwface and Screwface's twin, going, I hope they weren't triplets. And then he grabs his friend, and then they hobble off in credits. It's like there's death everywhere. There's all this paperwork. It happened in another country.
He kills 150 Jamaican gangsters.
So many people. So much
and he
work
to go
through.
To a foreign country.
Yeah, it's an international incident.
International incident.
Because it starts in Brooklyn. Steve, I watched, he did a sniper scene.
Did he really?
Yeah, and they don't even have Tom Berenger in them no more.
Oh,
they've gotten so far down.
The substitute.
Yeah,
the substitute, same thing with those. They lost Berenger a long time ago.
Oh, and now they're making the Jarhead sequels now. Too,
yeah, they are. And, what the fuck? Yeah. I saw that. There's
every time I see that, I go, why don't I have a movie? But the Steven Seagal one was so bad. He plays a sniper who is fat. He's
so fat now.
He's fat. He's supposed to be like this commander sniper guy, but
is that the one where he's always sitting at a table the whole time? I've read about this one.
Yes,
it's a newer one.
He doesn't get up.
He doesn't get up.
He literally is sitting at a table for a majority of the movie, or he's sitting in a sniper.
Well, I mean,
he has gotten lazier and lazier with his movies.
Dude,
that's for sure.
The last time I saw a new Steven Seagal movie was that one where he was doing that slide underneath the window.
Dude, that was
where he's just getting pulled across by a rope.
That was 2006. That's Belly of the Beast. That's so long ago.
It
and even then,
worse.
It was awful.
He's gotten fatter and older and lazier since then, and he grew that weird beard,
that goatee thing,
and now he's hanging out in Russia and stuff, and he's
Putin's his best friend and shit. It's weird. Shit
went
downhill.
It's gotten icky with him. I'll just rewatch Out for Justice and Call of Day.
He's one of them fellas that I don't know how he got. It just proves that luck is an opponent to this.
Oh yeah,
Luck and timing. Timing 100%. Timing, yeah. Right place, right time.
He got right time, right place, luck, and then couldn't sustain it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Because the market changed, and he didn't change with it.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't doing... He came up in the late 80s when those 80s action movies were the thing, and martial arts, people were still like, ooh, intrigued by this. He came up in a time in movies where if your character knew how to do any sort of martial art, they had to write that into the story, into the screenplay, to explain why a character knows martial arts. Now you watch a movie, everyone knows martial arts. It's not even explained anymore. Everyone automatically.
Dude's just out Krav Maga at fucking bars in Alaska and shit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a different time period, and he came up then, and also, like you said, he was lucky enough to be like an Aikido master in a time when no one's doing Aikido in movies. But he's still like a tall, thin, white guy, very New York or whatever. He fills a lot of like stereotypes that people liked at the time. He never changed that. So then, and it just got worse and worse. And they try putting movies with rappers, you know, exit wounds. And,
those are always every time I see that, I go, man, your agent fucked you.
Yeah. I guess it was a good idea on paper.
Because they always go from
trying
like,
to connect you with the youth.
They go from like A-list actors they go from A-list rappers to then they're doing it like, this is a dude that might have also been in Wu-Tang.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't get to claim full membership. He's a Wu-Tang prospect.
It's not even Red Man. It's like Green Man.
It's
the other man down
there. This is young, untidy bastard.
He goes on tour with them. Yeah. When they mention the killer bees, he's like...
He's one of the killer bees.
He's helping them get water. So he's like, he's adjacent to them.
He's got
to
wear a bee suit, and it's just this weird thing.
So he's your co-star for Half Past Dead 4. And we think this one's going to be your big comeback, Seagal. And then he's just like, just get me a sandwich. I'm fine.
It's Sniper versus Universal Soldier 5.
I would see that. Oh my god. Ooh. Universal Soldier, actually. They
came back. They came back because they started making them in Europe. They started having Luke Benson or whatever do it.
Oh, well, they got this guy. Man, was it John Hyams? They got a dude who is like making it happen in the direct-to-video world.
Yeah.
And made some weird ass action movies.
I enjoy the rise of the direct-to-video stuff.
It's incredible how that's where you got to go for good action these days. For old school style action, that's where the good Michael J. White movies are. Yes. Like Blood and Bone is one of my favorites. And it's so cheesy direct to video, but he's also like wearing Timberlands and kicking people in the face and Bob Sapp's in it, and it's awesome.
I also enjoy some of the Asylum movies.
The knockoff movies, the Snakes on a Train.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. Some of them are
Transmorphers.
Fun. Transmorphers, Fall of Man.
U.S. Warships.
Yes. Oh, okay. They got two for that one.
U.S. Yeah, I know they did. Yeah. I watched it. It's got Mario Van Peebles in it.
Mario Van Peebles? Yeah. How the mighty have fallen. And, Mario.
I know. He went from being the man to he's doing a knockoff of an already bad movie.
Oh, not good movie at all. Yeah. Oh, he was Malcolm X.
He was.
He was one of the Malcolm X's. There's a number of Malcolm X's. There was the other one. There's a Transmorpher, Snakes on a Train, the bad. There's so many of them.
Any movie series you can think of, they made a backup to it. And
it was easier to find those when they were still blockbusters.
Yes.
And you could walk around and you see them. Snakes on a plane, Snakes on a Train. Underneath it. Now it's like, you got to come across it when you're going through Netflix.
They're
and stuff
also
like
on
that.
The Redbox, though. They're all over the Redbox.
That's true. I never do Redbox. That's very,
and,
very true.
You know who's making bad movies now? The fellow from Grease.
John Travolta.
John Travolta's making them.
Fuck yeah.
Oh yeah.
Bruce Willis made a crop of them that didn't go anywhere. Nope. They're all over Netflix now.
And they all go direct to video. Another one who does that a lot, his name pops up a lot, John Cusack.
Yes.
John
Cusack, my God.
Well, yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Danny Trejo doesn't know how to say no. That dude, if we offered him to be in this,
he'd be here.
Had the budget for it, he'd be here. It's
he would.
As long as we can pay him.
Yeah.
He would, which there's a degree to that I kind of admire. Kevin Hart is the same thing, where it's like, he will work. Like, if you offer him something and the money is right, he will be there and he will do it.
But I really enjoyed the Kevin Hart and Rock vehicle.
Central Intelligence?
Central Intelligence.
I enjoyed them. I thought it was weird how Kevin Hart was the straight man and Dwayne Johnson was like the goofy, over-the-top character.
Yeah.
They flipped what you would expect from those two. And I enjoyed the two of them, and I would love to see the two of them do that again in another movie.
I'd like for them to have a stronger movie to do it in.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That made more sense.
Or a fun TV show, maybe.
A fun TV show. But But the fact that the CIA was after him for no apparent reason, and then, like, counting it, that, it was just like...
It was goofy. I can't even remember most of it. I saw it last summer when it came out.
I saw it, too. I saw its opening day with five other people in a theater in Seattle.
And the thing is, like, they're good. I like the two of them, and the two of them together are good together. But it's like, I wish the movie was better. I wish they were in a better film. That's a good call there. But if you like Green Room, and if you like the mood and the atmosphere and intention and the way it's made, check out Blue Ruin. It is tense, crazy,
violent
at times. When the violence happens, it's like, whoa.
I mean, it's just like Green Room. There's not a lot of violence, but when there is violence, it is fucking brutal.
And just like Green Room, the story progresses almost in a logical way. All these actions have consequences and reactions, and it's so worth it. I love Blue Ruin.
Yeah, not enough movies have the right amount of violence, because violence is a very... It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
especially a movie like this, where it's not going to pretend its violence is... You know, it's on PG-13, bloodless bullet holes. Yeah. Like, someone at one point gets hit with a bow and arrow, and it's like, oh, this sucks. Or another part, he actually cuts his hand, and it's like, just the pain of just walking around with a cut hand for a minute. It's, like, palpable in the movie. And so, yes, it's not like it's wall-to-wall. Like, in Green Room, there's only a few bits of really intense violence, but it's so intense that then it has you on edge for the rest of the movie. Blue Ruin does something pretty similar. Great pick. Good job, Tim. Good job. Let's get into the box office recap for the week. I even have a box office theme song. Oh, it's not mine. It's actually the... It's actually the OJ's. All right, that's good enough. Here we go. Drew, where are we going to start the top five?
Hang on. It's
10, 16, 22, 44, 90.
Okay, 24.
24. Number 24 movie of the weekend.
20th Century Women made $938,000 for a total of $3.9 million.
All right, not many people have seen it, so we'll keep the review brief.
How many theaters was it in?
Not many.
650.
Is that going up or down?
Stale.
Stale, 650 again, week to week. This is playing at the Enzian here in town. So to give local people an idea of where they can find this movie, it's an art house type movie.
Oscar bait.
Yeah, definitely. And it didn't get many nominations, as a matter of fact. Maybe I saw only breeze through the list once. Maybe Annette Bening for Best Actress, because she's very good in that movie.
Yeah.
Everybody
was very good in that movie.
Billy Crudup, the Fanning, which Fanning? Elle Fanning?
Elle.
The young Fanning.
Yes.
It's by this guy, directed and written by this guy named Mike Mills, who's very good at making movies that are about, like, people. Real people. And it's, like, it feels lived in and real, and it's kind of incredible how he can write characters that just feel like authentic, you know? They don't feel like stereotypes or bullshit. It's like, he's just writing about things that he knows, but doing so in an entertaining and thoughtful and artful way without it being overbearing or pretentious, you know? That's the feeling I get.
That's hard.
Which is very hard to do. Yes, most of the times someone does that, it's either going to be boring because it's like, you think your life is profound, but it's not. Or it's, again, pretentious, over the top. It's like, you think this is much more profound than it really is. This guy finds a nice sweet spot.
Yeah, he does.
I gotta say, what do you think of it?
I agree with everything you just said. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing.
He does know what he's doing. This movie called Beginners a few years ago with Ewan McGregor, Christopher Plummer.
It was weird. It was almost like a coming-of-age movie for everyone involved.
For a 15-year-old, for his 50-year-old mom,
18-year-old girl, a
24-year-old woman, all living under the same roof. Yeah, absolutely.
An old-ass Billy Crudup.
Everyone coming to grips with their place in life, and then she's like, very well done, well written. We already did our best of 2016. I would consider that somewhere in the bottom half of my top 10, maybe 11 or 12, something like that.
Yeah, probably.
That's how much I liked it.
Yeah.
Saw in a packed theater too at the end scene, so it's going to be around for a minute if people are interested in checking it out.
I think once again, Chris, I think we were the youngest person in the crowd. People in the crowd,
we were pretty young. No. It was an older crowd, that's for sure. That just cause
always
we have,
happens.
It's because we have good taste. Also, because Transformers movies are still a few months out. So that was number 24.
Yes, that's number 24.
People, check out 20th Century Women when you get the chance. What's number five?
Number five, La La Land.
La La Land,
$12 million, total of 106.
They just did the Oscar nominations. La La Land got a ton of nominations for Best Picture, Director, Actor, blah, 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 blah.
That's why it got added to another 1,200 screens.
Yes. Yes, it did, which is why it's stayed in the top five. And what's the total again?
$106
million. $106 million. That's pretty impressive for a low-budget musical. Are you a musical fan at all?
I am, kind of.
Yeah?
I enjoy the musical episodes of The Drew Carey Show. I enjoy all the musical episodes of South Park.
Yeah? that dork, though, then I think, yeah, check out La La Land. If are you a fan or not a fan of Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, the people involved in La La Land?
I like it to a point. I'm going to watch it eventually with a woman, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, because it is romantic for sure. It is a romance story. It's a love story.
The right girl's going to come along and going to make me watch that movie. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to keep watching zombie movies or spooks.
Fair enough. I would say also, yeah, if you're looking in that way at the love story angle, be careful who you go with. Be careful where you are at your point in your life, because it could there could be parts of it that you might find devastating, especially as an artistic person, a creative person. There are things about it that make you ask very specific questions about yourself. They're like, oh, interesting stuff, as a matter of fact.
Do they give up art for love, or give up love for art?
Do you? That's a question. Though? Well, is it, though? That is the question. Yeah. That's a question. That is a question. That is a question.
That is a question.
Don't point at me with that pen. You're making me nervous.
Put the pen down. I'm sorry about that. La La Land, it's very good. We both talked about it quite a bit. So that was number five. What was number four?
Resident Evil, : The Final Chapter. Right. $13.8 million, same total, budget of 40.
And then... with movies like that, too, it's not even about domestic. They make them because the last couple ones made almost $200 million international alone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't...
Yeah. Anything they make here is like icing on the cake.
I'm surprised they pretend that it's even shot in English anymore.
Yeah, yeah, right? Seriously. That it's for this market at all.
They have them run the lines twice with no dialogue coming out just so they can sync it up better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just make sounds going bop, 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 bop.
I mean, yeah, in the foreign market, it opened up $64 million.
So, already? Yeah. So there you go. It's going to keep
I know a fella money. Who's on Face Off right now, Adam Milicevic. He did the Resident Evil attractions at the Japanese Universal Studios.
Okay.
What's the attraction? You know what that consists of?
It's like a ride, but it's also part of their Halloween Horror Nights, and they're huge on the Mummy over there. So watch for the Mummy, because the Japanese and the Chinese love the Mummy.
No shit.
Yeah. So that's why they're bringing the Mummy back with Tom Cruise.
You know what? That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Because Tom Cruise ain't shit here anymore, but over there, they still remember him as Top Gun.
International, he's still a moneymaker international. And with the right movie, though, in America, he can still make some money.
Yeah, I mean, those Mission Impossible movies, bang.
They still make money.
They're good movies.
And they're also good as well.
But they used his attraction for the live-action commercial for that.
Oh, nice.
No shit.
Which is very interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. I didn't know the Mummy was so big over there. And yeah, I'm starting to see the trailers now for the Mummy in front of movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're planning a whole Universal's bringing back, you know, the whole thing the shared universe with Avengers.
Yeah, they're going to make the Marvel the movie.
Which is what they started that shit in the 30s. So Abbott Costello meets the Wolfman.
And Abbott Costello meets everybody else.
Yeah, they're already crossing over their properties, and their monsters are already meeting each other for years ahead of time.
I love Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That's a fun one. And that's on the slate. They want to do them all. Bring everything back. They already have Russell Crowe as Jekyll and Hyde.
That movie could be really fucking scary.
It could be if they wanted to go that route.
It either needs to be super campy or super scary. Yes. You can't do both.
No. And it's hard to aim for camp. Yeah. If you shoot for camp, you end up...
garbage.
A lot of times.
But you got to... I think you can do it right. The Wayans brothers are good at camp.
They are, yeah, actually.
They are.
It's really. I wish they were still making the scary movies.
When they handed them over to the Zuckers, it got bad. They got bad. They got worse. And the Zuckers haven't made a good movie in like 25 years, maybe something like that. The Naked Gun movies. It's been a while since they've been
relevant. They need to get the daddy to come out. The Wayans brothers.
Keenan Ivory?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Godfather.
I'm Gonna Get You Sucker was amazing.
Yeah, Gonna Get You Sucker was.
So good. I guess he's been so behind the scenes now, we don't even see him doing creative output anymore.
Yeah, but I would love to see him do a Creature from the Black Lagoon movie.
That'd be interesting. Keenan Ivory Wayans, Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
That could be.
I know it's weird. Yeah, that's a little weird.
That could be a lot of fun.
Just roll me on this.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around it.
Just roll... You have them doing a spoof horror movie.
Okay.
And then Creature from the Black Lagoon turns out to be real while they're doing the spoof horror movie.
Oh, so now you're getting kind of Wes Craven to do Nightmare.
Yeah, you get your camp. Yeah. And then you get your
scary. And then you swap over to real halfway through.
Uh-huh.
That makes me think of actually how Jordan Peele just did that movie Get Out.
I have not seen it yet.
It's coming out in February, but it played at the Sundance Film Festival, where it fucking blew the roof off the place. Everyone says that movie is hysterical, up until the moment it is fucking terrifying.
I am looking forward to that movie real hard.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe he's the new Keanu Reeves. He can take on the creature from Black
Lagoon. Have him come out and do it. Yeah.
Because apparently he's the truth. Is what I'm hearing coming out of Sundance.
Their fucking show looked like movies. Their show looked amazing.
They always did good with that stuff.
Yeah, they had the same director working on every skit, every show, and then they had that dude directed the Keanu movie, which I feel like I'm in the minority in liking that movie.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
It was cool.
It was good.
I thought it was smart.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't anything it didn't say it was going to be.
No.
Yeah.
They told you it's going to be an action movie about finding that cat.
And it was very Key and Peele.
The marketing also hinted that maybe the marketing could have pushed more the social angle they were going for. The whole what defines a black man. How these are two guys from the suburbs. And they're trying to be fake hard around these people. That ended up being kind of the crux of the story halfway through. And that's not really in the marketing.
It was
so
a masculinity tale, yeah.
Yeah, masculine. Exactly. Catered. Well, from specifically the point of view of like a black man in America,
it's a very hippie thing. But masculinity can be whatever you want to be, pretty much.
Exactly, it's a fluid genders, fluid spectrum. Man, come on, let your little kids play with dolls or trucks, regardless of their genitalia.
I have had half a white coat. I feel like I've already taken y'all off the rails. Like I do every visit.
It happens.
Yeah, this is how the show goes. You had half a white claw. I'm almost done with my vodka and soda here.
I'm drinking rum and coke. I mean,
cheers, rum and coke. Cheers, drinking.
We come off the rails pretty fast normally.
Cheers. Yeah.
I mean, eventually he'll start making recording mistakes, and it'll just go downhill from there.
As long as I don't delete half the show like I've done before, we are good to go. So what were we talking about?
We're on number three now.
We're on number three. Let's do it.
Number three is Hidden Figures. Made $14 million, total of $104 million.
Okay.
Budget deuce five.
$104 million, just like La La Land, a lot of money for this type of movie, for this kind of drama, historical drama.
That's the black math nerd movie, right?
Yes.
Three black math nerds have trouble convincing white male America that they know what numbers are. Mm-hmm. That 2 + 2 = 4 in their world, just like it is in white man world. And I went and saw this today because it was nominated for Best Picture, and there's only two movies I hadn't seen. That and Lion, both nominated, hadn't seen it, so I went and saw Hidden Figures. And it's a good movie, it's a great story. The movie itself is a little hacky, a little Lifetime movie-ish. The music is a little overbearing.
Kevin Costner's one of the leads. I figure that's the kind of movie it was.
Yeah, you know, okay, that reminds me. One of my favorite scene in the movie is when, Taraji P. Henson plays one of the three black ladies who's trying to get a job. She has a job in NASA, but as a computer before.
Yeah.
The movie also deals with them, like, installing the first IBM computer and all that shit. And they're working in a specific building at the NASA campus that's for the Coloreds building. And she gets a job in the main think tank where Kevin Costner and all of them are working at. And it's only white men in there. So she walks in there and everyone's like staring at her and it's a big deal. And when she has to use the bathroom, she has to leave the building, like go like two buildings down back to her old building because that's the nearest colored ladies' room. And Kevin Costner, his character at one point, is like, where is this woman? She's always disappearing for 40 minutes at a time. And she like explodes at him because it was raining. She's all wet. She's like, I gotta walk half a mile just to use the bathroom to relieve myself. And then I'm stuck here all day drinking terrible coffee, blah, blah, blah. So Kevin Costner, the next scene is him like showing up. He's at the colored people building. And he's sitting outside the ladies' room. And he has like a tire iron. And he's beating the colored ladies' room sign that's hanging outside the bathroom, but it's like on the wall real good. So it's a good minute and a half of him bing, bing, beating on the sign, trying to break it off in real time. Finally, he breaks it off, and then he's like, anyone can use any bathroom they want here at NASA, preferably one closest to your desk. And then as he's walking away, it feels like the scene is over. And then he turns around and looks at everyone who's standing there because he made a big racket, so the big crowd showed up. He turns around, looks at him, and he yells, here at NASA, we all pee the same color. And then it kept on walking. And I wanted to laugh so hard.
Was it a laugh moment? Because it feels like it's a laugh moment.
Seriously.
The theater full of people that were laughing during the movie did not laugh at that scene. And it made me want to laugh out loud so hard. It was like, we all pee the same color. It's like, was that supposed to be a serious proclamation of equality? Yes.
That's one of them.
And also, what if you have a bladder infection?
That's true. That's one of them. They piss Dad off so much that he's not going to... Dad's going to ride with the status quo no matter what till you piss him off. And it's like, no, No, don't laugh at that because he will come out and it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
He was being sincere. We're going to let it ride.
Let it ride. He was trying. We know what he said was stupid, but he thought it was kind of profound. We're going to let it go. Or it's going to come at us.
He wasn't even saying it. He was just saying exactly what he meant right then.
We all pee the same color.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, say so.
You know, if you don't pee in a while, and then you have a lot of impurities and maybe extra vitamins that day, and it might be a little browner than others.
I mean, there are certain neurological conditions that make you pee purple. So
I don't know what the fuck we're doing anymore.
It's the truth.
Purple pee.
Purple pee.
Number one pee podcast.
Number one purple pee podcast.
Purple pee podcast.
Number two this week.
All about that purple pee. Hidden Figures, not bad. I say go see it, but you don't got to run out and go see it. It's not that great.
Number two this week, A Dog's Purpose, Chris.
A Dog's Porpoise, Tale of Lassie and His Dolphin.
$18 million.
$18 million.
Mm-hmm.
This one, most notable thing about this movie, how that video came out of the dog like almost drowning people really being like protest this movie. So I wonder how much it could have made if that video didn't come out. I wonder.
I don't know.
That's a hard thing to make.
I heard nothing about this movie.
You don't know. You didn't hear about this at all.
I heard about the dog thing.
About the protest. Anything
about the movie were separate from the whole.
That's the thing. It's a mid-January stupid animal family movie release with Randy Quaid, right?
Yes.
One of the Quaids. Not the crazy one. Dennis Quaid.
It can't be Dennis. One. Dennis is like locked up in Canada.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Canada's Gitmo or whatever.
Yeah, with the crazy Santa beard. And I saw one trailer for it. It looks so terrible. And I feel like the call for protesting it actually gave it more publicity. And
probably. Got more people noticing.
Yeah, most people were just like, maybe would have made less money if people didn't call for a protest. I don't know. It's
real fast, though. A good dumb animal movie. Max.
Never saw that. That's the one with the war dog.
Great movie.
Really?
Great movie. Oh, yeah. You think it's going to be real sappy?
Yeah. The trailer looked like
super sappy.
Yeah.
It's kind of sappy, but it's got a fairly realistic movie villain in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he has RPGs in Texas, which is kind of stupid. But it is good, and it ends well, and the dog doesn't die, which is important to mention. Because watching that movie, if that dog had died during that movie, I would have fucking rioted.
That's the thing with these movies. You're watching these movies. Are these dogs going to die? A Dog's Purpose is all about a dog dying over and over, but then being reincarnated in the next dog's life.
Is that what that movie's about?
Yeah.
Fuck that movie.
Yes. How many times do you want to watch dogs die and be separated from their owners?
Who the fuck makes that?
Sociopaths.
You sit down and you go, you know what?
Sociopaths.
I finally get to make a big budget movie from Hollywood. I want to watch a dog die for an hour and a half.
Over and over. As a matter of fact, if you watch the trailer, it pretty much gives you 90% of the movie, I'm sure.
So. Yes, it does.
So just watch the trailer for A Dog's Purpose, and then you'll get the idea.
Fuck that. Just watch Max.
Just watch Max. There you go.
It's got patriotic undertones and all, and it's a good movie. Fuck this dog dying all the shit.
Very good. I like it. All right. That was number two.
Number one, Chris.
No, wait. Number one is still?
Yes, Split. $26 million.
Look at that.
Total of 77.
77. This one's on its way to over 100.
On a budget of $9.
$9 million. This one's going to make over 100. This is going to be M. Night Shyamalan's one of his highest grossing budget films. One of his highest grossing movies in the last 10 years.
And this is the one that got spoiled a bunch of times by newspapers and shit, right?
Did it?
I don't know.
I don't think it did by newspapers. Oh, you know what? Months ago, as a matter of fact, months ago online, a spoiler got leaked out for Split about the very, very, very end.
Yeah.
Which I managed to avoid. I just knew that it was out there and some movie websites put it out kind of carelessly. Because this movie does end at the very, very end with a big reveal that hints at a huge
shared universe.
Shyamalan shared universe type thing, which even in that itself is almost a kind of a spoilery thing to say. But outside of that, Split itself is still, I think, a very entertaining, very good movie. It's a thriller. It's exciting. It's kind of weird. James McAvoy is fucking great.
James McAvoy is a good actor.
He is.
He was great in Last King of Scotland.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
That was one of his breakouts. I think that got him young Patrick Stewart for X-Men First Class.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I enjoy British movies. Layer Cake was another good one, and that got the fellow James Bond.
Daniel Craig
was great in Layer Cake.
Not only that, but Layer Cake was being developed to be directed by Guy Ritchie as a follow-up to Snatch, but he dropped out. So the guy who produced those movies, Matthew Vaughn, he stepped in to direct it. He ends up being the director that does great.
Yeah.
Launches his directing career. He does that. He does Kick-Ass. He did Kingsman: The Secret Service. He did X-Men First Class.
Kingsman was a great stupid movie.
Hell yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was a great... It took itself not seriously
because it was. It's like a modern spoof. But it was satirizing Bond movies, but still in a sort of serious way.
Kind of seriously. Yeah. I mean, it took the action very seriously.
But that's just taking the actual making of it seriously.
The mechanics of making it. Yes, 100%.
You know, it's like if you made a joke painting and you actually painted good, you didn't just go, stick figure, here's the joke.
Yeah,
they took the mechanics of what they were doing seriously.
That's true.
The fact that the movie ends on an anal sex joke,
mm-hmm.
which is insane.
It's just and they're bringing them back for the second one.
It's gonna be even bigger. It's introducing like the American version of the Kingsman, and Julianne Moore is the bad guy.
Oh, she's amazing.
Channing Tatum's in it,
and what's his name? Taron Egerton. Yes. Obviously, he's promoting the movie, trying to build it up. So take it with a grain of salt. But he says the villain that they came up with, played by Julianne Moore, is like so much more bigger and crazier than the one they had with Samuel Jackson in the first movie. So it's really
exciting. Like Samuel Jackson just showed up and said, "I have a lisp in this movie now."
Well, I have a lisp and I want to murder everyone.
He was like, "Dress me up like Spike Lee. I'm a sort of talk like Russell Simmons. This is my character." And they're like, "You know what? You're bankable." So
yeah, and he's been in like what, $7-8 billion worth of movies.
An amazing amount of money his movies. If you go back in his career far enough, he's been in huge movies that he just happened to be in. Jurassic Park. He's like, hold on to your butts. And that movie makes a ton of money. Split, great stuff. If you like James McAvoy, it's worth it. M. Night Shyamalan, I feel like low-budget Shyamalan is like where it's at. He knows what he's doing.
Do you ever go to the Dollar Theater in Altamont?
The picture show. I haven't been there in a while, but yes, I've seen a few movies there.
I used to go there all the time. Yeah. I'm going to wind up seeing almost all of these movies there for a dollar.
Why not?
Split is perfect for a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, as a matter of fact. So that's number one movie.
Yep.
All right, new movies come out on DVD this week. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. We say on this show, Jack Reacher, don't bother watching.
Yeah.
Should have been taller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the whole thing with Jack Reacher, the character in the book. He's like 6'5".
Yeah.
Like 300 pounds, all muscle. Like he's a monster of a dude.
Tom Cruise is not that guy.
But I think visually it works when like this guy is ultra badass, beat up anyone, but he walks into the room, he's 5'6".
Yep.
You know? So people look at him like, I can beat this guy up. But then the audience knows, oh no, you can't beat this. This is Jack Reacher.
Yeah, but I like my monsters. I like my movie monsters.
Sure, he is.
He
is a different thing altogether. Yeah.
If the mountain spoke English, he could have done that role.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
The mountain speaks like as many words of English as I speak as many words of Icelandic.
Right? Icelandic, whatever you're speaking. Yeah. He's a total Magnus for Magnuson.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yes.
Remember that guy? Disney's Queen, I think it was Disney's Queen of Katwe comes out there. That's a chess movie with David Oyelowo. Tyler Perry's Boo! Amadea Halloween.
I can't wait to see that.
Well, then you finally get your chance.
I wanted to see it.
It'll be on the red boxes.
It didn't work out right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love...
Best time to watch Halloween movies, too, is in February. Yes. Everyone knows that.
I can believe that, yes.
And, Masterminds, that Zach Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig movie that got made a couple years ago. It didn't come out until last year.
And bombed.
And it did bomb. It didn't do well.
Yeah, I don't think that was marketed well.
I don't think it was marketed. I barely saw any. I barely saw commercials.
They probably had the contractual obligation marketing deal with that.
Well, yeah, it was also the type of thing where it was made under, like, a different studio, and then it was relatively media, and then they went bankrupt, so all their assets got sold off, so it got bounced around. It was just, for a while, it wasn't even a movie. It was just like a bit of a portfolio for another company, switching companies, you know, that type of thing. So then finally, at some point, like, oh, we actually have to put this out in theaters to see if it makes any money. They didn't really believe in it. That's what happens when you inherit a movie. That's what's coming out on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters this weekend? Super Bowl weekend. I'm going to go ahead and say right now, the movies coming out this weekend are going to be a week.
Super Bowl weekend, we got The Comedian with Robert De Niro.
Exactly. Tim's looking at me like, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
It's a low-budget character drama. De Niro plays an old aging comedian, and it just makes people who remember The King of Comedy, people remember that movie, just makes them weep inside to see De Niro.
Heard of that.
Exactly. We just started seeing commercials for it this week on TV.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And it doesn't.
He's another one of the dudes making them direct in DVD movies now.
Yes. Yeah. He was in one with Travolta.
Yeah.
Called like Killing Season or something.
Yeah.
And they had like a wig off. I think Travolta won like he always does.
And he does the 50 Cent movies.
Yeah.
I heard 50 Cent. He makes those god awful movies, but Someone was asking why you do it. It was like, because they gave me $1 million.
He does it for business.
Yeah.
He's 100%. Yeah.
He's like, I got $1 million to be in this bad movie. I'm like, all right, yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I'll be in that bad movie.
Yeah.
I'll be in one for $50.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I got paid well. I could fit it into my busy schedule. They worked around my schedule.
On a real good day, I make about $175 on a hot dog cart. You give me $200, I'll be in a fucking bad movie any day of the week.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean? You stand around and say these lines?
Yeah.
I'll say these lines exactly as you want me to say these lines.
Want me being Bowfinger 2 in blackface? Maybe $300 a day.
Let's do it.
I'm there. Bowfinger 2. I'll pay you $300 a day. Yeah. Put me in Bowfinger 2. Are you kidding me?
You can't get Eddie Murphy. You gotta get another Murphy. I'll be your Murphy.
You'll be Kip. I'll be Jif. We'll do it. Tim and I will be in Bowfinger 2 in the Eddie Murphy role. Yeah, just paint us up. That's not going to go over well at all, but we'll do it anyway for the right amount of money, which is apparently very low.
We were just joking.
We're joking? We're just joking, guys.
Just in case you're going to do it, I need higher numbers so I can do blackface.
$350. Get it up
and
there.
I need you to pay for my Uber.
Yes.
That's of course. That's a long Uber from here to California.
Yeah, it is.
they're not shooting here. Well, probably Georgia. They'll shoot in Georgia.
I'll shoot in Georgia for you.
We all know that's just going to be in Louisiana.
Or Louisiana. Those motherfuckers.
Summer, too.
In Louisiana. Brett Rice knows all about that. We're seeing this. What's coming out this week?
Also, Rings comes out.
Rings, a fucking Rings sequel. Because that's what America was clamoring for, a sequel to a successful horror film from 15 years ago? 14 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, back when VHS was still a thing.
Back when it was like, gotta say, though, the trailer does show how, like, the video would exist in the world today, or someone gets an email and just and like opens like, oh, the email and the video just like starts playing. Or a bunch of people are on an airplane
and it just comes on the screen in front of them.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, so they got an airplane full of people that are stuck watching the video.
I saw that in middle school and a girl I knew named Sarah Council cried during it.
What?
And she told me that. I was like, wow, that's gonna be a scary movie, because I mean, we grew up in a rough neighborhood, so it's like we've seen some scary shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I saw it. It was a scary movie.
It's a moody, atmospheric, creepy fucking movie. 100%.
That girl's crawling out of that MTV, man.
Yeah.
Wow. I just saw, you know how you do your Facebook and video just starts playing.
I saw the video.
Yeah, it's on one. They set up a TV display, and one of us had a fake screen that they rolled up, and then a girl, like the Rings girl, crawled out of the TV into the showroom, and some people were and ran out of there.
Fuck out.
And other people looked down and just like, man,
I dropkicked that weird bitch.
you risk getting punch in the face. That is 100% the truth.
What else is coming out, brother?
The Space Between Us.
The Space Between Us is
that boy from Mars falls in love with Earth girl thing.
Yes, it's the Martian meets the Fault in Our Stars.
Correct.
I thought I was pretty up on movies, but I guess not, because I'd never heard of that fucking thing.
Well, like I said, also, this is the Super Bowl weekend.
True.
Right?
True.
So it's one of the three slowest box office weekends. So, Drew said, it's what the movies get dumped this weekend.
This is the contractual obligation weekend.
Yeah. This is like studios are like, we need to put something out.
Now. Next weekend. Next weekend's a good weekend.
Next weekend's going to be a better weekend, and we'll talk about that in the next episode of this show. But before we do that, before we get to the break, it is time for Drew Sitcog. We're going to do my favorite segment, because this is when I learn about the world around us. This is when we get our prescription for life from Dr. Drew. The doctor is in. Time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. And Tim, check out this intro I made it myself.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, Dr. Drew. Take it away.
Well, Chris, it's been a wild and wacky week out there.
It's been a while.
Wild and wacky week out there. Things are crazy. Things are only probably going to get crazier.
Yeah.
So you know, just be prepared, guys. It's only what, 1 week into Homeboy's official presidency, and
Homeboy.
I don't like saying the word President Trump.
Neither do I.
It doesn't sound right in my head.
I hate it so much.
But yeah, I mean, things are only going to get worse before they get better. So, you know, just be prepared, guys. And, you know, be strapped in for a wacky 4 years. Doctor is out.
You mean probably 8 years?
Oh, God, no. That I do not see happening.
No. Well,
we'll see.
But ugh.
America has disappointed us many times. Ugh. We can keep doing it. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Be prepared. Worse is yet to come, as Drew says. Crespo disco time. Let's take a break. I got a from the Hidden Figure soundtrack. The original score was actually done by Hans Zimmer along with Pharrell Williams. And
that's a hell of a mashup.
Along with a third person who no one knows, so I didn't bother writing down their name.
Okay.
Fuck that guy. But Hans Zimmer and Pharrell Williams.
Can we just say it was me?
And Tim Murphy.
Yeah.
Both of the Hidden Figure soundtrack.
I'm going to put that on my bio. Tim Murphy, the third composer for the Hidden Figure soundtrack.
Lollipops, hot dogs, stand comedy, Hidden Figures composer. third guy. Let's take a quick break. Two songs from here. Two short songs. We're going to listen to that, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. We got movie news, Billy D, Vox Populi, Lightning Round, Swaggery, Juicy Guy versus the World. So much to do. And I also need to get a battery for my headphones because the sound just dropped out, like right there. Do you have any AAAs around here?
Maybe. I'll check.
All right, we're going to find a AAA, and also got to hit that dab rig. So here we go. We'll be right back with the second half of the show.
Buddy, how are you? Have you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program / podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. Why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine imagine, because of your generous contribution, that that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of Pff, radio.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
The second half of the show is underway of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drusa Cogburn and Tim Murphy. Guys,
what up, dude?
How you guys doing? Good?
I'm good, yeah.
All right, we're all feeling good, having a good time. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the place.
That's a 419. If you got a minute, you let him know, because Juicy Cogburn needs it for some reason. Well, if you had that minute, what would you do with it, Drew?
Oh, you know exactly what I'd do.
What would you do with it, Drew?
I told you. You'd know.
Oh, okay. That was your answer.
Yeah.
Okay. If you run a Boy Scout or Girl Scout cookie/popcorn selling ring and you need graphic design work for your flyers, hit up Drusa Cogburn at Drusa Cogburn Loves Free Cookies and Popcorn at DrusaDoesDesignsForChildren.com.
Dude, that Boy Scout popcorn is awful.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And also, you really need to get a Gmail account for that. you're paying a domain for that. That's a lot for a domain, man.
This guy's email domain list
is insane.
It's just for email, too. I feel like I have an actual website.
Got a bulk discount. No website. No, don't bother.
No. Just funny emails.
That takes maintenance. Tim, where can people find you online?
At Big Tim Comic on almost everything.
Big Tim Comic.
Yeah. And then you just Google me. Or BigTimSellSuckers.com is the best, because my partners put up the links to all my damn social media stuff.
Oh, they help cover that stuff?
Yeah, I'm only active on Facebook, really. Twitter confuses me, and Instagram requires having a clean house.
If people wanted to hook up with you, though, on Facebook, are you cool with that? Tim Murphy?
I just made all of my shit public and all.
Okay.
We can all be friends.
Drusa Cogburn over here, he has a thing where unless
I meet you face-to-face.
He's got to look you eye-to-eye, yeah. Tim, before he'll accept a friend request.
I meet a lot more people than you, I bet. So yeah, if I only did it to people I remembered meeting eye-to-eye, I wouldn't be friends with them. Be like 150 people.
That is true. You are out there always doing stand-up comedy, first of all. I do want to ask about that. One of the things I want to do with Crespediso in 2017, this is going to be we just had our fourth anniversary. I want to talk to more stand-up comedians, more local comedians. I mean, we had Ross in here. Have we had anyone else officially stand-up comic in here, Drew?
I don't think official.
Right? Making their money, this is what I'm doing.
Pedro. We get Pedro a lot.
We've had Pedro in here a bunch of times.
Pedro's retired, though, I think.
Yeah.
He hasn't, you know what, he has another show in a minute. That's the thing. He stopped doing his podcast forever ago, the Chupa podcast.
Yeah.
That was one of the very first podcasts I was ever got to be a part of. I'm looking over the list here. No, we have Trivia Masters, podcasters.
Professional wrestlers,
production assistants, actors, more podcasters, writers, social media mavericks, mavens, radio legends. Eric O'Leary was on the show. Hummus entrepreneur Jesse Wolf. No, you're only our third stand-up comedian on the show, and I want to change that in 2017.
You know who did stand-up comedy for a little while? New Jack.
The wrestler?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
He and I
worked tight for a while.
Yeah.
And then I did a joke about his current miss going, hey, you got anything I can sell to TMZ? And he freaked out just a little bit.
Yeah, well, he seems like kind of an edgy dude, on edge.
We were doing an open mic at Graffiti Junction, and he jumped on a table and was like, I have killed before and I will kill again.
Whoa.
I have 3 justifiable homicides. And, you know, he's got that forehead where he staples
his own forehead. Yeah.
And it's just like, man, you're scary as fuck.
That's crazy. That is crazy. But you hung out with him as friends, though?
Yeah, he came out and he was legit doing comedy pretty hard for a while there. And it was...
Was he funny? What was his material about?
Man, it's been fucking years. It wasn't...
Was it about, like, street stuff? Like, growing up?
Yeah, it was about
that
and about, like, being a wrestler and about, like, being a bounty hunter. And he was very, Bernie Mac, I ain't scared of you motherfucker style.
Yeah.
You know? Which is not surprising, because I was scared of him and I've been in some shit. That boy...
You should be scared of
that
him.
That grown fucking man is a... He's an intimidating presence.
Even the fake fighting he's done is like way more crazier than most people's real lives. He you know? The quote fake fighting.
He got into that and was like, yeah, we go hard when we got angry and actually fight. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in that kind of situation, they can easily, I mean, they're trying to make it look real, but so they hit each other and it hurts. They're like, oh, yeah. Motherfucker, like, you hit me hard that time. Like, I'm going to get you hard. By the end of the match, you're like legit hitting each other with crutches.
I'm going to get you hard by the end of the match.
I'm going to get you back. And then they're at the end, they're limping back. And they're, I saw him at the Asbury Park Convention Center jump off a balcony, a second floor balcony. Onto another gentleman laid out on a wooden table and just threw the table right onto the concrete floor in the crowd.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, it was. But it was done for entertainment. We paid our tickets. We stood there. We chanted for it. And then when it was over, we were like, ECW. That's how it works. That actually makes you our second guest who also is friends with New Jack, called Simon Time, wrestler, trivia master himself, Simon Time. Through the wrestling, got to hang out with New Jack and stuff. It's cool that you hung out with him in the comedy context. I had no idea that
he was trying it, because I think they were talking about giving him a reality show or something, okay. As him trying to be a comedian or some shit.
Interesting.
He's an
interesting fella. I don't even know what the fuck happened to him.
No.
He's still out there, I think.
He was in the scene for a while, and then he stopped coming out. And
he stopped doing the comedy. Yeah. I think he's still wrestling. I think he's gotten back. And because indie wrestling is like forever. That'll be that'll be a perpetual business. It's a low-paying one.
I don't know if you know. I sell hot dogs in front of a firing range pawn shop, for fuck's sakes. If comedy paid anything, I don't think I'd have to do that.
That's the thing. Yeah, you gotta... comedy is a tough business.
I still occasionally scrap things.
Yeah.
If I see metal on the side of the road, I will occasionally stop.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's all gonna be, though, part of the backstory. When you get to that point, we're like, Big Tim, you seem like an overnight success, but you were working this. Oh, you're like, no, that's 20 years ago. I was rapping some hot dogs. You're going to tell your whole story. Like, it's amazing what this guy was doing. But look at him now. A movie empire.
I will probably still be selling them hot dogs. I think I'll just charge more if I get famous.
You know? Yeah, because he'd be like, I'm signing the buns. Yeah, have a Sharpie and you sign each bun. It's this is a Big Tim hot dog.
It's like, this is a $25 hot dog in front of the pawn shop firing range that I own.
Yes.
One day I'm going to own my own pawn shop firing range. / lollipop store, / all the other weird shit I did.
Turn the whole thing into a web series, reality show, etc. The Big Tim Media Empire is underway. It's its own thing. It's a machine at that point.
I'm hiring a publicist.
That's important. Well. I looked into a publicist show.
We'll talk off mic.
Okay, because
it's very reasonable.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't finding anything reasonable. If you can find something reasonable, I'll jump in on that.
Well, talk. I mean, it's like a car payment for a low interest rate.
Okay.
Honda.
All right. Fair enough. That's a lot less than what I was seeing, because I was looking into shit like that to because this has to be it. This has got to be the year where it either gets done or it's over. I think we're making big strides with getting new guests in here, like you. We got new guests planned for next week. Brett Rice was just in here a couple weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. So a publicist is definitely a way to go for sure. But the comedy, stand-up comedy, do you have... I know you just did the Indie Fest, Comedy Indie
Fest.
Yeah,
Orlando Indie Comedy Fest, our third year, biggest year yet.
That was it's a four-day fest, right?
Four-day fest. We had Mark Norman, Jackie Cation, and then Trey Crowder, the Liberal Redneck.
Yes.
And that guy, he blew up overnight with his viral videos. Now he's got a...
I saw him
Fox
on a...
sitcom.
I saw his face on...
Really,
Raw
sitcom.
Yeah, he's going to California to write a show. I saw his face on...
Real Time.
Raw Story.
Yeah.
I was like, well,
Raw Story. He did Real Time. He's got a book out now.
Yep.
Damn.
We got that dude in August. It was his third year coming to our fest.
Right.
And
already established a relationship with him.
Yeah, we got him for a song, man. It was crazy.
Like other people now, if they want to book him, it's going to
be... Oh, dude. Oh.
Yeah.
It's like 7 or 8 times what we pay. I mean, but dude's amazing.
And where's he from?
He's from Tennessee.
From Tennessee, that's right.
He's fucking hysterical.
Over 4 days, how many shows did you do?
I hosted an ACLU benefit show on Friday at noon.
The inauguration ACLU benefit? Uh-huh. That's actually really cool. Yeah,
It's part of the What a Joke. It was in 40 cities.
Very nice.
Not that I'm necessarily anti-Trump or anything. I just, we needed somebody that could draw, and I got people to come noon.
Yeah.
I think I have to help like 7 people move now if they ever move.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like,
some favors.
I'll do anything you can. Just come to my show.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I gotta say though, if you're a reasonable person, no matter where you are on the political line, you got to be behind the ACLU. I mean, because they're for all Americans.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
civil rights for everyone.
They'll stand up for the rights for Nazis to protest. But,
yeah, they will.
And then I hosted a midnight show on Saturday because a fellow got too drunk. Yeah. And I did it while
you subbed one in.
I hosted the thing. It's fine. It worked out. And then I did a show Sunday. It wasn't so much about me doing the shows as it was making sure the shows went well for me.
Okay.
I've done a lot of shows. I'll do more shows eventually.
Yeah, sure.
I want to make sure that out of town, because we had...
Because it's a big deal now. Yeah, it's a big production. 4 years in. Yeah, this is the fourth annual.
This is the third.
Third annual.
We took one off because one of the fellas died.
Yes.
Matt which Gerstein. That's why we have the, hold on for one more day on the shirt.
Yeah.
We got that shark, the cowboy riding the shark and all.
Yeah. But the logo that was on on everything this year.
Which is technically, this is a Tom Dan shirt because it's on the back, so BDMG should buy the shirts when we put them online.
Oh, no shit. There you go. A little cross-reference there. It all comes together in the end.
Shared podcasting universe.
Yes. It is. We're all in this mess together. So you call it, the festival was a success this year.
Oh, yeah. It went great. We raised a bunch of money for charity because we don't get to keep any money, which is frustrating at times.
Yeah.
For
considering the amount of work.
Yeah. It's like...
The promotional work.
It's like... We don't get to keep that.
Yeah,
we're gonna give it to
a little.
We're gonna give it to. We're gonna give it to homeless puppies or
It's all going
homeless puppy.
Then I'm gonna go home and eat a ramen dollar store for mac and cheese. Yeah.
I'm just happy it hit Friday because my lights are still on. They don't do shut offs on the weekend kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have a couple of days to figure this out. Yeah. Scrap some metal. I'm telling you, it's gonna make a great story. When they interview you, how do you start the Big Tim Media Empire? Guys, we all heard the sound. We didn't ignore it. It's the time for Drew Sirkogbern.
Oh, shit.
Versus the world.
All right.
I'm going to ask you a little more about stand-up comedy, though, when we come back. We're not totally done with that stuff. But it's trivia time. Drew, so far this year in 2017, you are 3-0. Looking pretty good.
Not doing that bad.
This week's game, we've done a version of this game before, but like I say, it's always new. This week's game is called Who Said It? Shia, Mariah, or Elijah. I'm going to give you a quote, a real life quote. You tell me who said it. Shia LaBeouf, Mariah Carey, or Elijah Wood, the Hobbit himself, Frodo Baggins.
So a bunch of crazies.
Yes. So I'm going to give you a quote. You tell me who said it. Shia LaBeouf, Mariah Carey, or Elijah Wood. I have two groups of five, A or B. You won, so you got to go first, Drew. Do you want group A or group B?
Group A.
Group A. Here we go, Drew. Who said it? Quote. Dream the impossible because dreams do come true. As generic as possible. That's right. As generic as possible.
Let's go with Mariah Carey.
That's incorrect. It was Elijah Wood. Yeah. Number two. I am trying to impress myself. I have yet to do it.
Shia LaBeouf.
That is correct. Number three. I really rebel against authority. You said that. I really rebel against authority.
Mariah Carey.
That is correct. Number four. So much time is wasted on trying to be better than others. Who said that? Shia LaBeouf, Mariah Carey, or Elijah Wood?
Elijah Wood.
That is correct. Number five. I have a very nappy, curly head.
Shia LaBeouf?
That is correct. You got 4 out of 5 on that
Damn.
One. Good job, Tim. You got to get at least 4 out of these next 5.
Shit.
Yeah, good luck.
So you can tie, and we do have a tiebreaker. If you get all 5, you win. Here we go. Who said it? Shia LaBeouf, Mariah Carey, or Elijah Wood? Number 1. Butterflies are always following me everywhere I go.
Please be Shia LaBeouf.
It was Mariah Carey.
I thought it was Mariah Carey, but I really wanted to be Shia LaBeouf. I wanted to be Shia LaBeouf, so I was just like, you know what? I know it's Mariah Carey, but I want to believe
that's how you know. That's how you know he's a real comedian. He took one.
I took one for that joke
because that was a good joke. Number two, who said it? I think being different, going against the grain of society, is the greatest thing in the world.
That's got to be my man, Shia LaBeouf.
That was Elijah Wood.
Jesus.
Ooh. Number three.
Fuck you, Hobbit.
The fucking Hobbit. That was the Hobbit. Who said it? Number three. I come from garbage.
God damn it. Just Mariah Carey.
No, Shia LaBeouf.
I think it was LaBeouf, but God damn it.
He keeps burning LaBeouf. He fucked you twice. Number four.
Damn it, LaBeouf.
Who said it? Sometimes I feel I'm living a meaningless life and I get frightened.
God damn it, man. Fucking Shia LaBeouf.
That's correct. Hey. That was, yes, and number five. I love the grimiest rappers in the world. That's my favorite.
Oh, fucking hell. It's gotta be the fucking Hobbit, right? No?
Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
It was Mariah Carey.
What the fuck, Mariah? Oh, Mariah Carey.
She likes him grimy.
She loves the grimiest of rappers.
Why the fuck
did
she marry Nick Cannon?
Because he's not grimy at all.
Maybe he does some little bit of grimy rap in the bedroom.
I don't think he's
Drew Zakagra, you're 4-0 this year. Good job so far, man.
Good showing, sir. That was
rough. Ow, no, that was...
You got the tougher one of the two, I think, I gotta say.
That's okay.
It's tough.
It's okay. I'm bad at game shows like that.
Shia LaBeouf did say, I come from garbage, though.
That's hilarious.
God damn it.
Shia LaBeouf also cast as Indiana Jones' son, right, in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Now, in real life, he's putting things in museums and punching Nazis, so...
You are right.
Real life Indiana Jones.
The Nazi thing. He's doing good work with that Nazi thing.
Yeah, he is.
For people's rights.
Yeah, you know, the Nazi thing, it's like, you should go to jail for hitting the Nazi, but...
Yes, you should.
You should
That's
hit
assault.
Nazis. Like, it's not a zero-sum game with this. It's like anybody that goes, oh, you should have rational dialogue. Now, they gave up on that when they decided to be fucking Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
they stopped the rational dialogue when they were like,
this ain't 1931 Germany. No. And if it was, if you punch more Nazis...
It probably wouldn't happen.
It might.
Richard Spencer put out a video being like, we have to find a way to stop getting punched. We need a safe space in public or else this movement won't grow. So, obviously, the solution is keep punching them in the face and keep them in the shadows. Punch them into the shadows. Punch them into the shadows, Batman. We don't need the racist here. This is about money, not skin color.
I'm trying to be more middle of the road and all, not let my actual policies go through. But if you want to be a fucking Nazi, fuck you.
Yeah, that's extreme.
If we ever get to be in this country where I can't say fuck Nazis without offending, if you hear fuck Nazis and get offended, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, no
just
shit.
Straight
Seriously.
Up. Just straight up. You go. Why are you saying that? No,
but why?
There's a reason why Nazis for years have been like one of the most acceptable movie villains.
Bad guys.
No
yeah.
shit. They're like demons.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Yeah. They're human versions of monsters.
Yeah. If you shoot demons in a video game, you can't be fucking.
Yeah.
You kill
as many Nazis as you want.
You kill demons in a movie. It's PG-13. You know. Yeah. Probably the same thing with Nazis. Yeah. They're just Nazis.
Exactly.
They're
fucking
they're
universal bad guys. That should be a G movie.
Teach the children.
Yeah.
To shoot the Nazis.
They're fucking Nazis.
I mean, even in Patton, you know, as right wing as it gets, like fucking kill the Nazis, man. It's all about. All right, back to the Salem comedy.
Yeah,
The comedy fest went well. Then
went great. Great.
Glad to hear that.
Went amazing.
Super awesome. Do you have anything upcoming you like to plug? Because a lot of our listeners, we do have a lot of international listeners. A lot of this is across the country. Shout out to California, New York, Iowa. You guys are Iowa. You're killing it. But we have a lot of listeners here in Florida, and I'm sure some of them will love to support our local comics.
I am headlining a show at the Haven on April 20th.
Okay.
I think it's 5 hours or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
Count on paying because it's a door split, so I need that money.
Pay the people. Just pay the... Not even $5. Just pay it.
Well, it might be more than that. We'll find out.
$10. Just pay it.
Just pay it. And then I got other stuff happening, too.
Where do you post? Where can people find it online if you're posting it? Is it typically on a Big Tim Soul Suckers?
It'll be on my Facebook, yeah. I'll post more about it more. I got to focus on that because I'm...
Yeah, you gotta let people know where you're at, man.
Yeah, no, this having people enjoy my stuff is weird still.
it is. You gotta get over that, man. You're all about it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know. It took a while. We're 4 years into this for a reason, because we got over it. Like, fuck it. People want to hear this shit.
Might as well.
It's not enough for them, but still, they want to get their adamant about it.
I also get drunk and say yes to things, and I forget I said yes to it, and I find out I'm on my way to Daytona for a show that I forgot about. I was like, oh, yeah, they asked when I was drinking pecan whiskey.
But it's at least for, like, $25, though, right? Are we getting paid on our way driving to Daytona?
Yeah, I get paid. If you want me to do more than 10 minutes... you have to pay me. If you want me to go more than 10 miles from my house, you got to pay me something.
What's the longest, if I did want to book you, what's the longest you could do? Do you have 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes? Like,
I can
like
do...
Like, solid, you feel like this is my
I have
my
a
set.
Solid 25. Okay. I have a good 45 if I sit down.
Interesting.
My back will start spasming, and I'll get distracted.
I saw Patrice O'Neal. He sat down the whole time.
Yeah, it's fine. I know.
Bill Cosby said, I was sitting in jail.
Well, Bill Cosby also was like 70 years old doing that. I'm 29 years old. I should be able to stand and remember jokes.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's fine.
25, what is that? Is that like what they call a feature where you're like the second
feature
in a,
yeah, for the Rogue second Club, yes. Three. Yeah. I can feature, I can kind of headline. It depends on the crowd, it depends on
the size of the show.
Yeah, it depends on the size of the show.
Like, you could headline a tumbleweed.
Yes, yes. I could headline, I'm not going to headline the West Palm Beach Improv.
Right.
With 750 people.
Right.
I could headline
750 people at that improv?
Yeah, it's a
God
big improv.
Damn. God damn.
And they
because the Orlando one's like 250, 270.
Yeah, the Orlando one's like 300.
How about the Fort Lauderdale one? That's like another 250.
Fort Lauderdale one, yeah, but the West Palm Beach is giant.
That is huge. God damn.
I did that room once, and it's a hell of a story I'll tell you about another time.
Okay, I like it. Yes, teaser.
I insulted the fuck out of migrant farm workers' rights activists.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
Teaser.
It happens.
We'll definitely talk about that in the future. That is fucking great. I had no idea it was that big. I guess some of them get comedy clubs are big. They gotta range in size for different size audiences. But that's the improv though, like brand improv.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like fake comedian because I've done a couple of Douglas movies and but they've been at improv, so I have pictures of me in front of the improv sign.
Yep.
And I put that out there online. It looks like I know what I'm doing. But I know what I'm doing.
You and about a million other open micers who get on their graduation show at the improv have the improv. That's why I thought I knew you because I thought you had to be Chris or
no, Marcus Crespo's
brother. I've like there can't be a fucking
people
two Crespos.
All the time.
Multiple Crespos in town.
So many Crespos.
Tom and Dan, they told you when they interviewed. I listened to the Marcus Crespo interview on A Corporate Time, and Tom just started going, "We've had your brother in here reviewing movies," and then Marcus just starts laughing. He's like, and then he's just going and talking about it. He's like, "Wait," and then Ross had to jump in. He was like, "They're not brothers." And Tom was like, "What? They're not?" And then I did a show after that. Shortly thereafter, and I gave Tom shows. Like, oh, so you put a couple of fat Puerto Ricans in a room together and all of a sudden they're brothers. That's what it is. I get it. No, it's cool, man.
And don't act like you ain't got some cousins that ain't your real cousin.
You know what? My cousins, most of them don't look like me, I gotta say. The ones that do are ladies that are around my age. But they actually... But they look like you? No.
I was about to say.
They look like... My uncle is the one who's directly related, so they look like a mix of him and his wife. But it's like it's a good mix. I think I might be biased because I'm family. I think they're good. Fine.
What's up with putting me in touch with them?
They live. One of them's married, happily married, several children. The other one lives in the Boston area, I believe. So
It's not a whatever. It's fine. There isn't gonna be a love connection. Let's get back.
Sorry, Tim.
It's fine.
I could help you out there, but Tinder. We can always
now. What's that mean? Death at the movies.
Well, Billy D is our homie. He's one of our best friends, and he lives up in New York. He lives
Billy
up
D.
in Brooklyn.
Williams?
Billy D. Williams. He's Billy D. Williams the second. Actually. It's a different Billy D. Williams family. He's the third. As a matter of fact, he's the third.
He is legit a third.
And he's Billy D. Death at the movies the third. And he's our homie, and he's also like our horror film aficionado. Are you big on horror movies?
I am. I had my own YouTube thing for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Did a low rent, no rent horror review with a girlfriend of mine.
No shit.
She's also a comedian, Morgan. Let's just go with Morgan. I don't remember which last name she was using for the internet anymore.
Oh my god.
She's amazing. When I pretend that my real sister is not my real sister, I pretend that she has Morgan's qualifications.
Nice. And is it still on YouTube? Can people still find
it? Yeah, you can still find it. We did a few of them. It's just she did all the heavy lifting.
Okay.
And she spliced in the clips, and it's really well done.
Yeah. And he just showed up in the jokey
jokey. Yeah, and I can't be like, hey, I want to do more of that around your busy schedule and use all your stuff, your house, and then...
And then she do all the work.
She did literally all of the heavy lifting. Sure. I would show up and...
But if people wanted to find on YouTube, how would they search it? What should they search for?
Low rent, no rent horror review.
There you go. Well, Billy D, he's our horror guy. And he hits us up every week with his write-in. It's called Billy D's Death in the Movies, and it has a quick intro, and that goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Here we go. Drew Cogburn reads Billy D's Dispatch from Brooklyn. So, Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I was thinking about this movie this week because I thought I had reviewed it. Like, how could I not have reviewed this? I put up a pic on Instagram and everything. But I'm pretty sure I didn't actually review it, because I saw it on a Sunday night. You ever watch something and think, the person that made this and I should be friends? A few years ago, I caught a weird movie on Netflix about a hunter possessed by an alien with telekinetic abilities, and I liked it a lot. It was called Almost Human, and it was written and directed by a guy named Joe Bagos.
Alright, Almost Human.
While watching this movie, The Mind's Eye, I was reminded of that movie Almost Human. Turns out they are made by the same guy, and between these two films, this guy is cornering the low-budget sci-fi horror market on telekinetic thrillers. The Mind's Eye is a movie that fits right in with Scanners. It's dripping with Cronenberg homages and nods to DTV classics and aesthetic. It starts with a title card that says, "This film should be played loud," and they aren't kidding. It's filled with so much psychic whammy noises, I'd swear they are going to burn the brown note.
The one that makes you poop your pants?
Yes.
Yes.
That thing doesn't exist, does it?
Well, it does.
Does it?
Apparently it does.
There's vibrations. Everything has a vibe. And never mind. We're getting a real deep scientific shit with this.
Hey, no, we love deep scientific shit.
Well, I mean, basically, everything has a certain frequency that if you vibrate it right, it'll basically disintegrate. And there is one for your bowels.
Yeah, you just release them.
I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But also releases other things, too, because I mean, it just takes all the splinters in you, so you kind of, like, your throat will splink. Never mind.
Yeah, right, because...
So it's like, that doesn't sound fun. It's not, a lot of sphincters.
Not just the bowel stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like all your sphincters.
The whole thing is going. It's not just like a... It's not just like a constipation cure program.
No. It's like a,
It's like an everything out.
Yes.
Everything.
Go ahead, Drew.
All right, so The Mind's Eye. It's about a group of young psychics being studied by a doctor who is developing a cure/dampener for their abilities. The doctor turns out not to be who he says he is and is doing something terrible, because of course he is. We need someone to stare and yell back at our staring and yelling hero. This movie was awesome. Come for staring, stay for the yelling. The bulging veins are just a bonus. It reminded me of something I'd catch late at night in the 90s on Cinemax or USA even. It has a bunch of people I like from all these weird little horror films. Lauren Ashley Carter from Jugface, Bereavement, and POD. Larry Fessenden from We Are Still Here and In a Valley of Violence. And Graham Skipper from Almost Human and Carnage Park.
Graham Skipper!
Play it loud, stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D, we appreciate it. You can hit him up on Twitter at ILoveBlood, as well as Instagram at ILoveBlood. It's an intense screen name, guys, but he's a nice guy.
Sounds like one of them things that's either he's going to be super nice or he's a...
Or
he's
a psychopath.
Actual psychopath.
Yeah, serial killer in training.
It's like, did you ever see Dee Snider's Strange Land or Strange Fruit or whatever?
Strange Land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a fan of the soundtrack.
Yeah, me and Ross had talked. If you have a handle like his internet handle,
yeah,
you're a fucking straight up sociopath.
Which was Dr.
Captain Howdy or something.
Captain Howdy. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Crazy. Yeah, that is. Yes. If at any point you were at CaptainHowdy69@hotmail.com,
yeah,
you're nine out of ten chance you have a body in your basement.
I'm less afraid of fellas with I Love Blood as a moniker because it's like he's just being out there.
Yeah, that's like
okay with that.
It's like if you're at Axe Murderer, I think it's probably gonna be an okay guy.
Yeah,
it seems like a little goofy, a little so over the top, like Quentin Tarantino over the top, as opposed to Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer over the top.
Yeah.
Thanks, Billy D. We appreciate it. He's our homie. Next segment is it's a segment of the people that we call the Vox Populi, the voice of the people. They send us via Facebook. Email cinemacrespedisoGmail.com or iTunes reviews, whatever they want to write to us. We read it on the show in this segment, and it has its own intro.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Dr. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from Scott.
Scott, our homie. These are always very long. Here we go, Tim.
He's got reviews of La La Land, Split, and Hidden Figures.
Okay, La La Land the musical. Let's hear that one first.
I like musicals. My favorite part of any musical is when a really great song swells, and then the acting matches the music in full crescendo, and then I get those delightful goosebumps, and the very concept of musical theater is once again validated within my heart. Yes. Well, La La Land gave me none of that.
Oh, shit. Whoa.
And what a shame, because it is a beautiful film otherwise. Maybe I saw it too late, maybe I saw too much hype beforehand, and my expectations were just too big. But why so many Oscar nods? I just can't agree in the technical categories. Sure, I get it. Costuming, cinematography, editing, etc. Even Best Director, because I can only imagine how big a project this was. But all the other major categories, nah, brah. Best Picture?
He said, nah, brah.
Don't even start. No. Emma Stone is maddeningly cute when she dances. I'll give her that. But that's all. She also has a really off-putting sing face, which didn't serve her well during her big solo number. No.
What the fuck does sing face even mean?
She's got a weird sing face, apparently.
Well, she's like, oh! That's a wolf face, actually. Jennifer Lawrence has a bad running face. If you go back and look at the first Hunger Games movie, when she runs, yeah, she looks weird. She looks like a dodo. Yeah, constipated dodo.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling is once again charming as fuck. He doesn't know how not to be right, but best actor for this? Because he learned to play piano? Come on, no. If anything, his nuanced comedic performances in Nice Guys is far more worthy of an Oscar nod.
Nice Guys was a good movie.
It was.
It's a fun movie, right?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like not enough people saw it. No, you know what? Box office says not enough people saw it when it came out in theaters last summer.
Well, they marketed it wrong.
I don't know. I thought the marketing was okay. It was a little flatter. They could have sold it more as a straight-up comedy, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah.
In hindsight. Let people know more. That had way more jokes. Because it was fucking funny.
It was a funny movie. It was... it reminded me of... I love the Rockford Files.
Yeah.
I'm fucking obsessed with the Rockford Files.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking really mad Netflix took them off there.
Licensing, man.
Yeah, I know.
Those rights come and go.
It reminds me of a Rockford Files comedy.
Okay.
Interesting.
Because, Well, I can't believe I'm fucking...
Because it's so 70s.
It's so 70s, and Rockford Files was that same way of, like, it's serious, or it's serious but not desperate.
Yeah. It's
big stakes, but they're not desperate stakes.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, this is a big story to them, but it's not like a comic book movie where it's the end of the world.
Yeah, I hate that everything has to be such, like, oh, the villain's gonna blow up the fucking whole Earth.
It's sure.
Like,
yeah.
Why can't he just want to blow up fucking Dansville, Arkansas, or something?
Which is
why can't he just fucking want to take out a suburb of Illinois?
Which is what part of why I think people really like Deadpool and Doctor Strange last year, because both those movies had endings where, in the long run, you know, the stake of the world, the fate of the world is at stake. But in that movie, it's like there's smaller goals for the most part that the good guys have to overcome against the bad guys.
Yeah.
They're saving the Avengers style. Here's a portal to another dimension. The aliens are coming. They're taking everything over generically. We're going to take over the world type of bullshit. Yeah. Or the portal in the middle of the city. The energy beam from a building. That should happen.
In the middle of Manhattan, which would be like the absolute worst thing that ever happened to America. Like,
yeah.
It would probably collapse. Insurance industry would collapse.
The worldwide economy, it would turn everyone, you'd go from Avengers to Children of Men, just like that.
Yes, I would love to see a movie that takes place in a serious, like, holy shit, they fought and destroyed all of Manhattan.
Well, spoiler alert, in Watchmen, right, the guy who's behind it, Ozymandias, the guy who's behind the destruction of so many cities, is revealed in the book and the movie. You pay attention to the details. Veidt Industries, his construction companies, are the ones behind rebuilding all the destruction that he caused.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making money off his own destruction as both the hero and the villain. Right. What, Watchmen, you're so smart. We got off track. Let's get back to Scott's email.
Even the motherfucking songs in this musical are just meh. Again, no goosebump moments, and no matter how many times they kept repeating a certain refrain or two throughout the score, I didn't walk out of the theater humming any of the songs.
Oh, fair enough.
As musicals go, that's a pretty severe demerit in my book. But as much as I'm shitting on it, La La Land was still okay. I just had enough... It had enough style and class to make me like it. But will I watch it ever again? Probably not. I simply do not understand the crazy amount of love for this film. This is Hollywood falling madly in love with itself again. It seems to happen once every few years or so. 2.5 out of 4.
I've seen that criticism thrown at La La Land and Hollywood in general, in that it's another movie like The Artist or something where it's so much about Los Angeles that it's just self-congratulatory in a way, and it's like an older film style that's out of style now, the musical, etc., etc. But I think on its own terms, to be fair, I think La La Land is stronger than that. But hey, Scott didn't like it. What else does he have?
Split.
Split, let's do it.
I'll actually begin with my overall rating.
Begin with it.
2.5 out of 4.
All right.
On its own, that's what I feel this film deserves. McAvoy and Taylor Joy were their usual awesomeness, and the story was intense, though it fizzled a bit at the climax.
McAvoy, Taylor Joy.
Let's just say Split had its own Martha moment. That said, I think there's real potential for my score to go either up or down in the coming years, depending solely on whether or not Shyamalan is able to build on the foundation he laid here.
Ooh.
As I sat through Split, all I kept thinking was, this is a super dark, super creepy, mutant, or rather inhuman, origin story that Marvel just wouldn't want to risk doing now. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that feel from the movie. And though it's far from a perfect psychological horror flick, I still give Shyamalan credit for a solid attempt. He did make a decent movie, very much in his own unique style, of which I'm still a fan. But then at the end, he had the balls, or the hubris, to go and tie it into one of his previous films, thus creating the Shyamalan Cinematic Universe.
Bah, bah, bah! I didn't have the other things queued up. I should have read the email first.
Now, if you can keep it going, adding to it, producing more quality films and characters to enrich this grittier, more twisted universe to compete with the likes of Marvel and DC, I think
there's no fucking way Night Shyamalan's gonna make anything with either one of those studios.
Disney in general.
If he starts getting close, Disney will literally drone strike him.
It'll look just like Mickey Mouse too.
And
it'll look like
a weird. Somehow Disney will make it look like a drone strike suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Like, yes. You don't know how it happened, but then my Shyamalan killed himself with a drone strike.
He committed suicide via Hellfire missile.
Suicide drone strike.
It's
a great band name.
That is a great band. We are Suicide Drone Strike. This is off our first album, 21st Century Murder Suicide. Right, what kind of band is this?
Sorry, let's get back.
So, but punk.
It's a ska band. It's a ska band.
Ska band. Oh, it's a ska band.
Interesting.
They're very woke.
Woke. Hey, woke ska is the worst kind of ska there is. Just stick to the weed, guys. We don't need to hear about women's rights.
Jesus Christ.
Actually, we probably do. I saw a really funny tweet. Sorry, Scott, we're killing your email. I saw a funny tweet today, and I have to give credit to semi-credit. At least I can't say that I came up with it. How come feminists are called feminazis and grammar police are called grammar Nazis, but we call actual Nazis the alt-right?
What's up? That's a good question.
That's pretty fucked up.
The alternate facts, Chris.
Alternate
facts, alternate right.
Alt-Nazis.
Yeah.
Alt-right.
Y'all are going to get emails about this from the alt-right.
You would think we would, but they're not paying attention
to us.
They don't
give a fuck.
They're not listening to the spick and the possible spick. They have no idea what Drew Cochran is over
like,
here.
Look, both of y'all are dark enough, I'd have questions.
That's the thing. You're the wrong kind of white, brother.
I've seen people
walk up to Drew.
Holy shit, I really just say you're the wrong kind of white, brother. Fuck!
The ginger does say that.
Soulless ginger, yeah.
Fucking giant redneck and overalls.
But it's true, though. I've seen people walk up to Drew and start speaking Spanish to him and then speak English to me. You have this backwards.
I work in a kitchen, too, so a lot of people
They just automatically assume, un momento, por favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's like, Bono, like, it's over
you.
There. I know enough.
You, buddy.
I know enough. If he stays out of the sun, he'll be fine. Back to Scott's email.
Fuck.
Do your thing. Go ahead and do what you got to do. Go ahead.
Movie, far from perfect. Where the hell did I go?
You were talking about
up or down in the coming years, depending solely on what Shyamalan is able to build on the foundation. Shyamalan Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Compete with the likes of Marvel and DC, I think my opinion of Split could be very well rise in hindsight. However, if Shyamalan fails to capitalize on this bold maneuver that he did not need to do, Split will be downgraded for the foolhardy gamble of that tacked-on final scene.
The foolhardy gamble.
Personally, I hope he pulls it off.
Oh, he's really pulling for him, all right.
And then, last but not least, Hidden Figures.
Yeah, sorry, here we go.
A full month into its run, I finally saw this. Once again, I'm the youngest person in this theater, and that's about a third full.
That's what we were saying about 20th Century Woman.
Movies still stacking paper, I'll give it that. But damn it, they applauded when it was over.
Yes, they did. And when I was in the theater, too, they applauded at the end of Hidden Figures. I thought it was so funny. I always think it's funny when they applaud at a movie.
Applauding any movie is ridiculous enough, but man, the old white people really do love movies that make them feel better about how racist they and their parents used to be.
Yeah.
There's Remember the Titans, The Help, and now Hidden Figures. And like those other films, Hidden Figures is merely okay. Basically, it's a very fleshed out version of the trailer, which already gave you everything you needed to know about the story. I still like Remember the Titans a bit more, strictly as a sports slash football movie.
Sure.
But I digress. To its credit, this movie does give its subjects the moments in the spotlight when they absolutely deserve it. And as a fan of the space program in general, I was surprised that I never knew about these women until now. Why'd it take a shined-up Hollywood movie? Where's the NASA-backed documentary about the amazing women 20 years ago? That's a film I would still love to see. So, if you saw all the trailers, a few more details here and there is all you get out of Hidden Figures. The performances are good, not great, but old white people still fucking love it. They clapped while I muttered, "Really?" 2.5 out of 4.
All right, didn't like it too much.
Well, let's remember though, NASA makes space stuff, not documentaries.
Correct. That's true too.
So that's probably why you hadn't heard it, because they're making space stuff and doing math that requires them to do math.
And at the end, to be fair, they were like, "Oh, this lady, she won the presidential, won it. She was granted a Medal of Freedom, Presidential Medal of Freedom, and they got a building named after her over there in NASA." So you know, they were like, at least internally, they were paying attention to who she was.
She got a building. It's fine. All right.
What's next?
We got some comments on Facebook.
All right, Facebook.
Paul Hine gets at us.
What's up, Paul?
I read Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
The Road, it's intense.
And then watched the film adaptation. The movie is a solid depiction of the book, and both are equally depressing.
Yep.
I don't know why they changed how the mother character dies, though. In the book, she shoots herself, which is important, because the man and his son are left with just 2 bullets. In the movie, she just walks off into the cold, dark night. These really aren't spoilers, just my gripes. This movie hits home the fact that I'd really like to see a movie adaptation of the Fallout games. Mm-hmm. Keep up the great work, and as always, read more books.
I don't think a movie adaptation of Fallout would work.
You know, they gotta work well.
It all depends on the story.
It depends on the story, but it also depends on which Fallout you're doing. Are you doing 2? So, are you doing 3? You doing the new ones?
Are you doing New Vegas?
The
new one would kind of lean itself more towards like an actual filmable movie.
Yeah, because they took out some of the complexity for it, made it a lot simpler. I'm a huge Fallout fan. Playing them since the
beginning. Yeah,
1 and 2. I don't know if it would work because the humor in it. You'd have to have the humor come in, but
I think if it was done not as like a, you know, like a one of these video game movies where like they're trying to push the fact that it's a Fallout movie.
Well, could you imagine a funny The Road?
I mean,
that's what you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about situations as desperate as The Road.
Yeah,
but then there's robots that throw out quips.
Yeah, you're right.
Funny version of The Road.
There's
it is.
That's pretty much what you're talking about.
That's pretty much what Fallout is. I mean, he is right.
Add jokes to The Road. It's like in that bunker, they'd have a humorous poster of an alt.
I'm trying to think if that exists. The closest I can think of is maybe Turbo Kid, because that's kind of a dystopian future and kind of funny. An actual funny version of The Road. That's hysterical. You're familiar with The Road?
Yes.
Movie-wise.
I watched the movie. I didn't read the book.
You didn't read the book? If you, for the most part, like Paul said, if you've seen the movie, the book, it's the same thing. Same thing with No Country for Old Men. Yeah. When the Coen brothers ask about how they adapted No Country for Old Men, they say that they sat there with the book open, and then they were just like, they looked at the book, and then they typed it into the screenplay, and that's how they wrote the screenplay for that movie. Which is the truth, because I read both, and they both stick very close to what's going on.
I love Elmore Leonard's books, but some of his movies that get made about his books are fucking garbage.
People take the liberties with some of them. So just because Get Shorty works doesn't mean Be Cool is going to be any good.
Oh, God.
Be Cool is so bad. It's incredibly bad. But Get Shorty is so good. That's Elmore Leonard, right?
Yeah.
The Tarantino took Rum Punch, turned into Jackie Brown.
I treat that like a cousin because in the book, it's Jackie Burke and she's white.
Yes, he changed a lot of things.
But
I think he also took elements from a second book and threw them in there as well.
Yeah, he took some of the stuff from a different one, from Switch, is in there kind of. Because Switch is the prequel to Rum Punch.
Okay.
And they made a Switch recently with Jennifer Aniston, which was pretty good.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They also made one that went under the radar with Thomas Jane, the Kill Shot, and Mickey Rourke played the guy in it. With, what's his name? The dude from Third Rock from the Sun was in it.
Lithgow.
The
JGL. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, he played.
So familiar.
Killshot does sound familiar.
Killshot.
Is that kind of older?
No, it's like from 5 years ago.
Okay.
they're trying to outrun assassins and all. Elmer Leonard, but that's another thing with, like, you'd have to have a serious movie. In Elmer Leonard books, they're being funny, but no one recognizes they're being funny.
Yeah.
And in movies, you gotta...
It's a Raymond Chandler, old school, yes. Private Eye type of humor.
Yes, yes. It's like, things are serious, it's but things aren't desperate kind of shit, just like the Rockerfells.
Shane Black would do a good Elmore Leonard, you know? Yeah, like, nice, yes. Guys and Kiss Kiss Kiss, yes. Bang It's Ready, that's, yes. Kind of humor and that kind of style.
I wish he had the rights to... But Justify was a great TV show, and that was based on Elmore Leonard's
that's
story.
That's true, yeah. It was, yeah.
But they took on some of the dynamic of him, too. They changed him around, because in the books, he's got kids... Mm-hmm. Already named after country singers, and the hat was changed a little bit, and the Lincoln was not as cool as the Jaguar. Ah, fucking, I'm getting a nerd. I'm being a nerd.
Timothy Oliphant, yay or nay?
I love him.
You love him?
Dude, I fucking love everything he's ever been in.
You ever see, were you a fan of Deadwood?
Yes, Deadwood, yeah. Was amazing.
Because we're talking about Westerns, yes, off mic.
He plays a fucking great angry man.
Yeah, Bullock. Seth Bullock.
He was even great. He was in a fucking sitcom I watched some of. A girl I was dating watched it. He came in like, they replaced him with Billy Zane.
What?
Billy Zane? In the next season, because they couldn't afford him again. It was like,
Listen to your friend Billy Zane.
Yeah, fucking, but how? You got a fucking...
Timothy Oliphant on a sitcom is weird.
Yeah. That does sound strange. Yeah. But he's a funny guy, because he was funny in Gone in 60 Seconds.
He does a deadpan kind of thing.
He does a very deadpan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
when,
exactly.
In Justify, when he shoots the fellow with the ice cream cone, oh, man.
Shoots him with an ice cream cone.
Well, he's got an ice cream cone, and he fixed it. Never mind. He liked ice cream.
All right, I'm going to have to watch that. Back to the Vox Populi, to the segment of the people. This is a segment of people we're tripping all over people. Sorry, people.
So we've got a message from Becky Rudd on
What's
Facebook.
Up, Becky? What's up, Becky?
So glad to hear Love for the Witch. I'm obsessed with that film.
I think she's referring to when we talked about our best of 2016 bonus episode. Both Drew and I, we talked very highly of The Witch.
It's on my list to see very soon.
If you're into horror, definitely worth checking out. It's the type of horror where it's all about atmosphere and tension and mood and reality, as opposed to, like, there's a hint of supernatural for the most part.
I prefer a hint of supernatural. I don't
know. Yeah. Going over the top.
They don't go over the top with this one.
You just might love this movie.
I'm sure I will. It's on my list. I try not to steal them.
Yeah.
And it's on,
It's on Amazon, for sure.
I need to re-up my Amazon Prime thing.
It's on. Trying to help you out here, Tim.
Yeah, it's fine.
I understand. Trying to assuage your conscience with some of these things possible. Drew's checking out, as a matter of fact, for people.
Can I Stream It is an amazing site.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? That's how we were able to update our randomizer. We got the new randomizer solution fluid from the new Mexico importer. And then and we got Can I Stream It? The two of them together, and we're good to go. Drew is, he's tapping away. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. And, yes, no?
And I finally found it. Just took me a second.
And he's looking. And it is available on Amazon Prime.
Amazon. It's for rent on Google Play.
No, we're looking for streaming for free.
Streaming now.
Just Amazon.
Yeah.
So Russian torrent site today.
I'll just wait.
Look, you can go to the barbershop. I'm sure what they have at the barbershop. Probably not.
I was being sincere. I'm trying not to actually steal them on purpose.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is
movies is hard,
and also I think you'd appreciate as an artist yourself. You don't want people bootlegging your comedy and then giving it away to each other for free. You want people to come out to your show.
And a movie like that,
it.
that's not a giant blockbuster movie. So
yeah, that's true too.
It's not your Avengers that made $1 billion. Yeah, they're not gonna
fuck anything owned by the Marvel products. They'll be fine. They're not gonna miss my dollar.
No,
that's true too. What else we got in the Vox Populi?
Rocky Socha wants us to talk about 90s movie gems.
Shout out to Rocky for What's the Fuss podcast. I was on the last couple episodes of What's the Fuss. Download those 90s movie gems. Pulp Fiction. Got the Pulp Fiction poster right there.
Pulp Fiction is good.
It's maybe the peak of the 90s. Yeah, think about just 99. Fight Club. American Beauty. I think L.A. Confidential came out then. A ton of movies came out just in 99. What do you think 90s? What
a sleeper
think
hit for that would be Sleepers.
Yeah, that's totally 90s. Yeah,
totally.
Huge cast, too.
Huge cast.
Ridiculous cast.
That whole... I love those movies where it's an elaborate setup.
Yeah.
Elaborate heist things.
A Usual Suspects type of deal.
Yeah.
And then the big reveal at the end.
Or like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, things like that. I love those kinds of things.
I'm a big fan of the Ocean's movies. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Drew, can you think of any 90s movies gems?
Very Bad Things.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, that
with Christian Slater. I think the first time I saw that movie, I like
I had no idea what I was getting myself
into. Also, Wild Things.
Yeah, Wild Things. Yeah,
that was another. Yeah, everyone saw Wild Things, man. It's a crazy
one.
Because
of the titties. Yeah,
what else? Yeah, everyone, everybody's like, a three-way, what? A mainstream three-way? I want to see that shit.
Bringing Out the Dead, Martin Scorsese.
Very end of the 90s. Yeah, well, 99. Scorsese in the 90s, he had Goodfellas, Casino, Bringing Out the Dead. Those three on top of one or two others, I believe.
Bringing Out the Dead was the one where they were doing the ambulance, right? Ambulance. Yes. Oh, that movie was fucking freaky.
Fucking weird.
It was like Taxi Driver, but it was an ambulance driver who was getting sleep deprived. So,
fucking freaky.
And it's like the three stories, and his partners are Tom Sizemore, Vin Rames, and someone else, I can't remember. And they're like all pontificating and monologuing and... it's a wild movie. Amazing. Very underrated. That's actually a good call on that. Thanks, Rocky. We appreciate it. Thanks, Becky. You guys are all awesome. We love you all. And that's it for Vox Populi?
Yes.
All right, that means it's time for movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot feet.
That was a little loud, I'm sorry.
Therapy opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been
I fucking hate news puns. I hate him so much. Fucking bad.
They're the
apparently
worst.
Han Solo wasn't so solo.
If
I were the goddamn Emperor Earth, she'd be put to death for that.
Go fuck yourself. Exactly. That's correct. 100%. But guys, this is a movie news segment. We talk about the best celebrity beach bods, celebrity divorces, etc. So all the stuff that's important. But most importantly,
what's going on with the Biebs?
What's up with the Biebs, Tim? We need a Biebs update. What's up with the Biebs?
The Biebs is still a rich dick.
He's a rich dick?
He's a rich dick. Yeah.
There you go. And the music ended perfectly. He's a rich dick. Thank you, Tim. Not everyone has a Biebs update. You'd be surprised how many people freeze up at the Biebs update.
What? I don't understand.
But you're right on. He's still a rich dick. Thank you very much. Movie news. Here we go.
Did you see the Atlanta episode? Before we get I'll sidetrack for just a minute. Where they had the black guy pretending to be Justin Bieber.
Yes.
And was it just Buck? Yes. That was fucking amazing.
Oh my God.
Well, it's a movie show, not a TV show.
No, we talk about TV, so we love Atlanta. You think he was pretending? I thought that they were establishing that Atlanta is in a world where Justin Bieber is black.
Oh yeah. That's what I meant. I'd say that.
But he was a black Justin Bieber. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. That's how Justin Bieber, I think, imagines
that's
what
how
he sees himself. Yes.
Totally. Because Usher found him.
Usher found him on fucking YouTube.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Movie news. What's happening in the world of movies?
Well, speaking of kids, that movie Room was popular last year about the young lady played by Brie Larson who was with a child and locked up in someone's shed in the backyard, right? And they break out. That kid, Jacob Tremblay, he's a kid. He's under 10 years old. Yeah. He's got a career, man. He's got blown us away career-wise. You know what he was cast in? Speaking of Shane Black, The Predator.
Oh,
are you serious?
Yes. Awesome.
They're making a new Predator, right?
They're making Shane Black is writing and directing the new The Predator, which Fox, they're throwing money into it.
Oh,
and they're like, Shane Black was like, I'll only do it if it's expensive and if it's R-rated. And Fox was like, okay do it. Tim is very, very excited.
He's literally
shaking from excitement. So Jacob Tremblay, this kid, has been cast as an autistic child who can decipher the language of the predator species.
Sounds right.
I think, from what I'm gathering so far, I think it's predators, like the alien species. They have come to Earth and they're kind of invading Earth. That might be the type of deal that we're looking at.
That would not be good.
I'm looking forward to an update on the cast list. This movie's coming out February 2018.
Okay.
Fox, they're shooting for the Deadpool slot. That's what they're seeing now. Deadpool made a shit ton of money, so they're like, what other R-rated movies can we make that can make a lot of money?
But Deadpool was a good movie.
It was.
That's the thing, but Shane Black is a good writer and director.
Yeah, all right. I trust him.
This doesn't have a list of other people. I can't. It doesn't have the list of other people in the movie. It just talked about Jacob Tremblay. But I'm looking forward to that very much. And you guys might want to look forward to this Super Bowl weekend. You know, it's all about the commercials, right? I'm just totally over the commercials for the most part, but... there's one commercial, a Mercedes commercial that features Peter Fonda. It's an Easy Rider themed commercial. It's about a minute long. It's for Mercedes, and it's written and directed by the Coen brothers. So it's like a minute long Coen brothers commercial, pretty much.
All right.
So if you see them in a long Mercedes commercial about a bunch of bikers hanging out, and then they're blocked in by Mercedes.
I just don't think Mercedes when I think Easy Rider.
No, exactly. No. It's a bit of a twist. I gave away the twist there in that it seems like it's a bunch of biker bar. It is a biker bar. It's a bike thing. But then at the very end, it's Peter Fonda driving a Mercedes.
It can't be. It's either going to be real good or real bad. It can't be in
between. No, it's going to be real bad.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out Super Bowl weekend. Finally, 3D TV. At home TV, 3D TV, it's dead.
I got one.
You got one?
Yeah.
Just hold on to it.
Have you ever used it?
No.
You don't use it? Hold on to it.
We can do 3D on our TV if we buy the glasses.
If we buy the glasses.
Yeah.
Can we really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. LG and Sony, the two companies really making 3D TVs, have both announced that as of 2017, they are no longer making TV with 3D technology. You can pretty much consider at-home 3D dead for now, for the next few years. So if you have a 3D TV, hold on to it.
I have a giant Mitsubishi rear projection that has it.
Oh, yeah?
But my screen has got spots on it, and it's also...
You got to go in there and change the chip. There's a chip on the inside of the TV that we've had to do.
Actual screen.
The actual screen itself?
Really? Yeah, it's okay. I don't wear my glasses. So
it's okay. Yeah, okay. It's fuzzy anyway.
It's fine.
There you go.
I only wear my glasses when I'm sniping on Battlefield 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, video games for sure. There's also already animated stereoscopic. Must look amazing in that case. I'm totally behind that. All right, end of the show. And that means at the end of the show, we start winding down with the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Big Tim, I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. We're going to do this as quickly as possible. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, have you ever been to China?
No.
Number two, what is your favorite song?
Waterloo by ABBA.
Number three, if you could be any movie star, who would you be?
Oh, shit. Clint Eastwood.
Number four, how many pairs of shoes do you own?
I own about 9.
Number five, would you rather change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between a muffin and a baby?
I guess I'd like the gender thing, I guess. And I go back when I sneeze?
Yeah, every time you sneeze, you go back, you flip back and forth.
Is it a painful thing, or is it just a...
I would say no, not painless. It's a painless flip.
Then fuck it, Big Tiffany's coming out.
Big Tiffany Murphy. Number six, why is there something rather than nothing?
Because somebody took some of it.
What? Number seven.
You fucking wrote the question, asshole.
If you were just given a yacht, what would you name it?
That I'd name it.
That's H-N-H-H-H-N-H-H. What is number eight? What is the first thing you do in the morning?
I wake up and I'm happy I'm alive.
Number nine. Got to do that. Sleep apnea. That's how I wake up.
I don't have the sleep apnea.
Sometimes I do.
I don't have sleep apnea. I just wake up and I look up and I go, I didn't die.
I did it.
Sweet.
Yeah, I did it.
I survived another night.
It's a great way to actually think about it. Number nine. If you were to write a book, what would it be about?
Be a biography. And no one would believe half the shit in it, probably.
All right. And finally, number 10. What is the best thing about your life right now?
I'm alive.
All right. Time into the last one. Enjoying life and appreciate it, Tim. We have two bags here. This is the swag bags. All right, guests get to go
home
with stuff.
There's a swag bag?
You get to go home with stuff, Tim. You got a blue bag and a brown bag. Which one do you want to go through right now? Choose wisely.
Let me have the polka dot.
All right, polka dot blue. Give me that brown one. Get that brown one out of the way. Drew, break open the blue bag and tell Tim what he might get to go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with a 7-in-1 LED light up stick.
What if you want to get some Molly, roll it up, blow that thing up, wave it in front of your face while you're tripping, while you're blowing up, you're gonna love it.
I could have used one of those in high school.
You could use one in high school, but it's 2017.
3-pack of war movies, Cliff Robertson and George Check Harris in the 633 Squadron. David L. Wolper presents The Bridge at the Remagen and Remagen. Devil's Brigade.
It's Remagen, but Devil's Brigade's a fucking great movie. That's about Canadians teaming up with Americans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, give me a fucking thing. There I'm taking go, this one way or another. Yeah, I watched it with my granddad back in the day. Yeah, it's fucking right. It's a great movie. Yeah.
You've got a 100-piece puzzle bug of a chimpanzee on a tractor.
A puzzle of a chimp on a tractor.
Yes. Vintage toys, buzzer ringer.
All right.
Shake someone's hand, the old buzz. Classic. It's classic.
You've got a can of silly sludge, whatever that is.
You play with the silly sludge. You break it out. You play with it, silly sludge.
It may, warning, do not eat may stick or stain fabric.
There you go. Don't put it on fabric.
And a bunch of stickers from formfulfilm.org, Cinema Crespedisa, What's the Fuss Podcast. Swervy Jones Show. Oh, and last but certainly not least, a trial version of Spunk Hybrid Lubricant.
All right. All right.
Tim, all of that.
It all could be yours.
Ken.
Oh, motherfucker.
It can be yours. Take that DVD. Put it back in the bag.
Motherfucker.
That can be yours, or we put the bag away. You don't see it again, and you take instead what we have in the box right over here. What's in the box? That's right, Tim. You can take what's in that bag. You know what's in the bag.
You know what's in the bag.
You can have all of that.
Man.
Or.
Man.
You take what's in the box. You have no idea what's in the box. Say right now, it's not an animal, alive or dead. Guaranteed. Questions,
box
questions.
Is pretty.
What do you
can I shake the box?
No. Nope. Drew, shake the box. Drew, shake it. There's something in there.
What's in the fucking box?
It's not empty.
What do people normally pick?
Oh, man. You know, I mean, it's 50-50, actually. In all these reality, days, after a couple of years now.
Most of our first-time guests pick the box.
A lot of first-timers pick the box. A lot of returners.
Return guests usually go for the bag.
I go for the bag. But if you take what's in the bag, you don't get to see what's in the box.
Oh, fuck! Fuck!
Yeah,
exactly. That's the fun part.
It's up to you, Tim. Here we go. End of the show. Do you want to take the bag? There's no right answer. Do you want to take the bag or what's in the box?
I want the bag, but I like the radio of the box. I like the radio. I mean, the box is what everybody, because they don't know either.
No, they don't.
And they want to know.
They want to know, too.
I try to make good content now, but, and I can get that.
You appreciate the entertainment value.
I appreciate the entertainment value, so I'm going to take the box.
All right, go ahead. Here we go.
It's
going to
be
top.
A big old fake dick.
Go ahead and reach in there and take out the big old fake dick. There's a big old fake dick in there. What do we got? What do you got in there? Go ahead and tell people what you see in there. What is it? Read it.
I have deep thoughts. Inspirations for the Uninspired by Jack Handy.
There you go, by Very Jack nice. Handy. Deep thoughts by Jack Handy. Go ahead and read a random deep thought for people.
They're good.
If you're in a boxing match, try not to let the other guy's glove touch your lips because you don't know where that glove's been.
There you go. That's truth. True. That's yeah. The truth.
It's too bad that whole families have to be torn apart by something as simple as wild dogs.
There you go. Deep thoughts by Jack Handy. Tim, that's yours now.
I made a horrible mistake.
You made a horrible decision. We'll also make sure you get some stickers. Drew, can you please assemble
I already took some stickers from the pile.
You got
there.
Some more? Good. Give them some
I'll
more.
I'll put some on the cart.
Give them some more.
Y'all do me a favor, though. Y'all yes. Open that DVD and watch The Devil's Brigade.
All right. Fair enough, and then I'll put it back in the
deal,
bag.
Deal. All right, deal.
You got a big Tim recommendation on the war movie. Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have you back on the show for sure so we can get those stories out of you.
I will hook you up with all the...
And we'll get some lollipops. We got to get some goddamn lollipops, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You got to get them.
Sorry, I didn't
bring it. No problem. It's fine. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Everyone, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Make sure you read more books. Break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Hide your money in your mattresses. And free Mumia Abu Jamal down with the Muslim ban. We stand with each other as American people, equal and always. You're all
and
the best.
Don't hit Nazis, but if you do hit them, I guess.
Hit,
I don't know.
Hit the Nazis, but be prepared to pay the consequences, but the consequences aren't worth it.
If you're going to punch Nazis, punch them in the face.
Yes, punch them in the face hard. Thank you very
actually,
much.
Actually, it's always better to go with a body blow. It'll hurt more, but that's a different story.
Crack a rib.
Ooh, yeah.
Crack a Nazi rib. And then suicide drone strike yourself. Right here, guys.